This is Cube Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening. It is a little bit after 7. I think we have managed to get Studio C up and running as well as possible. And if you're watching us from, well, I don't know, a ship at sea, Okinawa, Japan, or just here in Central Phoenix, it may look very familiar to you.
Yeah.
It managed to transfer over right nicely, I think.
I think so.
Yes. Go ahead, Mark. Remember, it's lefty-loosey, righty-tighty.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, you're new tightening. I thought you were, okay. Figured you were just adjusting.
Because
that was very tall. I noticed that.
It was very tall. And I'm not.
I know. Well, I realized. But I did bring the chair up about an inch and a half.
I know. I love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
this is weird.
We can go higher if you need to.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to make sure.
Appreciate it.
And I don't remember, like, when we moved everything, again, I didn't adjust mic heights or chair heights. So if you need to do a self-adjustment
since we
didn't have time to do a sound check before the goddamn show again, like we always
do. But at least we're on. You know what? We're on.
We're on. And we hope that if you are listening, joining us, please let us know in the chat room or text us or however you want to let us know that things are coming through loud and clear. Because I'm, where are we? I need to figure out where the hell we are in the chat room to see if anybody's out there. Nobody yet. We'll figure it out, I'm sure, before it's all over and done. We do have people in the United States listening. That's a nice thing. At least somebody out there is paying attenzione to us. Anywho, it's the show. We're coming to you live from the all-new Studio C in Central Phoenix. Just really can't get any closer to home than this.
That's not true.
Almost. I'm here along with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and of course, it's Al Perkins in our studio. And they're all here ready to go on this Tuesday evening, where though we are closer to most of the cast, we all still couldn't get here with any spare time.
Yeah.
Marnie, though, has reminded us that if we'd have been at the old studio, she would have been on time.
Yeah. A little early, actually. Yeah. It's kind of nice.
That's funny.
As Barbara texted me the other day, that's good to know, but not important.
Right. Very good. I would also like to thank, just a little shout out to Joe DeGanzig, who was instrumental in helping me get everything moved from what was Studio B and the palatial Q-Talk America Plaza to the new Studio C. He helped me, Friday, a big, big way of getting everything moved and transferred over and hooked it back up the same way. So it all worked. We were able to take a few pieces of equipment out of the loop because we don't have time for calls and we don't need Skype. We're not dealing with those fucking people. Because we don't
Seriously.
Have time for that.
Good to know.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody. Oh, I just realized that woman is real.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Just found
out.
Honey Brown.
She was on the View the other day, and they were. I'm like, are you serious? This fucking woman is real. I thought it was bullshit.
She was also on. Who's that really really funny guy? Shit.
Someone.
Al? No, he does like a late night weird talk show on Comedy Central.
Oh, Tosh.0.
Tosh.0.
Yeah.
She was on Tosh.0, and it was absolutely hysterical because he was just treating her very seriously, but not at all. And it was just, it was the funniest interview. Look it up. Tosh.0 if you get a chance.
I enjoy Tosh.0, but I just did, like, again, I thought that was like a staged thing that somebody had done. All of a sudden I realized it was an interview about a fire.
Yeah.
It was about bronchitis. It was about getting
but it was about a fire.
A fire.
Oh,
she woke up to get a cold pop. And then she realized that the fire was a-going, and she runned out.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And then the smoke was getting bronchitis. Oh, but ain't nobody got time for that.
And I love in the video, her son walks back and forth.
He's pacing.
And, back and forth.
And according to what she said on The View, that he was actually wanting to do the interview, and then that she just took over. He thought he was going to be the star, but Mama is the star
ain't
now.
Ain't nobody got time
Sweet
for that.
Brown.
Nobody. Sweet Brown. It was so nice to see her on The View with that big gold tooth out in front. I think that's so nice. Mm-hmm. That's very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Proper dentistry.
She can get any money back for that.
She could.
You know.
You could pawn that.
Pawn them.
All right, do we have the post-PC productions? Because it won't let me on Maggie and Marty's.
No, you're not supposed to be.
Post-PC prod.
I will give you that again.
No, it won't even let me enter the address for Maggie and Marty.
No, because I haven't told you what that one is.
Ooh, shut out.
Oh, what was the?
It's the post PC prod.
That's the one we should be on.
There.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
And it's working quite well.
It is. Things are swimmingly.
Yeah.
That's a capital O, by the way. You got that? Got it. Okay. We're trying to, again. If we. Someday we're going to have another meeting about this show where we aren't drinking or doing it
it's
live.
Not my, it's not my old eyes and my vision. I, honest to God, can't make that up.
That's capital O-I. D-A-R.
That, okay, that was what it was. I couldn't tell the I. I'm like, what? Okay.
I meant to print this and type it. I had it typed up and print it for you. I was going to post it in here, right. But I ran out of time.
I can't believe I've never brought this over before, but good to know. Okay.
Oh. What do you mean you never brought that over? You bring that every week.
No, I never brought that to your house.
Oh, well, but we aren't. You have to be on this one anyway because it's in here. The other network's in the other rest
of
the
house. Okay, that's why I won't let me join that.
Yes.
All right, we're back.
Too far.
Right,
yeah. Oh, we're good. We're
and
on.
I'm already on yours. That's why I was like, what do I have to put in?
Oh, but is it coming through strong? I'm sure all the listeners at home and all the shits that say are really giving a shit about
it. Hey, we're working it out.
We're just checking out our new digs here. Hi, Tyler from Tennessee. Mark is here too.
Oh, no, I have last week's chat still. That's weird.
I need to clear. I never have time to clear it. But from now on, it'll only be our chat, so it won't matter anymore. Pretty much is what I'm thinking.
All right, so I think we have Joe and Tyler doing looks good, sounds
good.
Yeah,
I got
Tyler
that.
Saying hello. Okay.
I got that, yeah. And then Tyler, hello. So we're. I think
Hi,
we're,
Tyler.
We're off and running. Thanks, Tyler, for following us to the new studio. I'm sure it wasn't difficult for you to do. I don't know if Harrison's going to join us. I'm going to bet my mom is probably listening as well somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, Katie, it was a big weekend for you. It was
a big weekend
for you.
Yeah. That almost resulted in my own gold tooth to accompany this gigantic weird fat lip that's happening.
What happened? Were you just not listening to Kelly?
Exactly. Bitch.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time.
Nobody got time for that.
No, we had Palmer's turned 2 on Monday.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
So
I have to tell you, I was listening to the first hour of last week's show, and Al describing how god-awful babies' birthdays were was really funny to me. How much booze you've got to get to entice people to come to your house.
You really do, and I think I succeeded.
I love that I found an avid listener and agree.
Yeah, oh
here,
yes, yeah. And I made sure we had a big cooler stocked full of beer. We had sangria. Somebody may or may not have over-served me, my mom,
You were
Kelly,
serving yourself!
All the girls. It may have happened. I don't know. But I was, Kelly said, you know, it's way too much beer. There's way too much out there, and we spent too much money, and no one's going to drink it, and we're going to look like weird alcoholics.
Beer doesn't go bad. That's the good news.
And everybody drank it.
It depends on what kind of beer you get.
I got to tell you.
Some of it starts bad.
I heard from some of the other friends that were there, who we went to all of their first birthdays, and they didn't have beer. They were like, your party was really fun. I'm like,
because you
shit.
Were wasted.
I had alcohol.
Yeah.
Take note, people. I had alcohol. So.
Now, but at this kind of a party, though, do you actually, it would make sense to me. You have the booze, you have the friends over, you got it, but you actually hire a babysitter to watch the children.
Well, let me tell you, we actually invite our babysitter. Yeah.
Here's 20 Smart. Bucks, just sit there.
And we've all seen The Omen, so we know how that goes. Sorry, maybe we all haven't seen The Omen.
Definitely have not seen
not
that.
Seen
but I don't
that,
think I'd like to actually know about it.
I'm going to guess because it's probably a scary movie and I won't watch it.
Also, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no, The Omen. Damien is the
sounds
the
scary
baby.
Also.
No, it is. It is.
Mm-hmm. But so our babysitter was there and, you know, it was fun because all the kids were in the playroom and we bought bags, the cornhole game in the backyard, and my
I
dad
really
was grilling.
Really have to think of a new name for that game.
Know,
every time
cornhole.
I'm like, seriously, it's time to think of a new name.
I was calling it bags.
that's like that bag, shoes, just accessories. But really, I'm going to go cornhole with him in the back. You okay with that? Like, what?
And you especially want your child to go to school. You know, obviously, she's not old enough yet, but what did you say? Mom and mom cornhole. Really?
Yeah.
Cornhole with mommies.
Clear winner.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a fun game. As I was cleaning up today, yesterday it was worthless. We didn't do any cleaning up, and I continued to shove my face with cake and cupcakes and all
How's
kinds of goodies.
How's that diet
goodies.
Going?
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. Real bad.
Okay.
But so today I'm taking one of this big table. Okay, I'm taking it out of the door into the carport. Ooh. Kind of store it there. Our carport right now looks real not cute because we're doing
it.
Yeah, because we're doing a garage sale anyway. So there's all kinds of stuff. There's including a treadmill that's half broken that I'm going to try to sell. I mean, I'm going to give a disclaimer.
Half broken. Define that, please.
The engine. I mean motor.
Okay.
The motor is giving. It's going out.
Okay.
So which is why, you know, when we called, they said, well, you can pay, you know, $500 to replace it
or
get something new.
Buy
so we
a new one.
Paid another $100 and Kelly got something different. So okay. I'm just, but perhaps someone out there like you, Clayton, is really handy and can fix it themselves, maybe. I don't know. So I'm going to sell it with the disclaimer that it's falling apart.
Oh, I don't buy anything. I will take it for free if you can't get it. If you can't offload it, I will figure out a way to acquire it.
That sounds perfect.
Resurrect it and
sell it. It has wheels. I could push it across the street.
Oh, yeah. Though the studio is now closer to your home, I can't imagine you pushing a fucking treadmill.
Can you imagine across Camelback?
Actually, if you do it, I will come tape it.
Well, now, what a good workout.
Oh, my God.
I mean, really.
Those little wheels would for sure get stuck in the light rail train.
It would and those would break.
It would be hilarious to see.
There'd be a lot more.
And then there'd be more damage.
Yeah, it'd be bad. Well, I'm carrying this table out, and the treadmill's there. And like a dumbass, I hold it's a little IKEA table. It's nothing big, but I'm holding it like this, so I can't see where I'm going, but I figure that all is well, and I know my way through the carport. Well, the edge of the leg on the table catches the edge of the treadmill, and my face goes just smashed.
This is where
the
big lip comes in. Okay, lip. Got it.
And I boom, and I immediately drop the table, and I drop my head down, and I'm drooling. I think immediately because I like bit my lip, so I'm going, please don't be blood, but it's not. It's just a whole bunch of nasty blood blisters. But and my tooth. It was one of those things where I was like afraid to touch it because I'm like, this might fall out. I mean, it still hurts real bad. And I'm
so don't touch it.
So I went. I know, and I haven't. I'm like hesitant even to put my pressure on it with my tongue because I think it's okay. But I went in and was icing, and I had an accident. And also,
like you peed your pants. Like,
no,
that's what I thought she was going to.
No, I'm sorry. I had that. That did
so much. What happened?
This is a story in two parts.
Nope. I did not have that kind of accident.
I was very confused,
but I was very scared. Well, and then when I get here, I have the big busted lip and. I'm letting my skin kind of really rest and refresh. I have no makeup, just moisturizing lotion.
You have lovely skin,
not
so that's
cute.
Really not that hard.
And when I walked in, I had totally forgot that Studio C, Maggie and Marty live here, and I'm highly allergic to cats. And although it's cleaned up, and so the dander isn't like, there's no carpet, I can feel this eye a-going. So by the end of the night, I might have one swollen eye,
I'm thinking you're
no makeup, and like my giant busted lip and maybe a fallen out tooth.
We have so much to look forward to. Yes. All on camera.
Yes, with new studio lighting and everything.
Sorry, I was just really cracking myself up.
Well, maybe I should get a good shot and maybe do this and show you something that we have new. I've put in place... we now have new supers under our names that coincide with our new. You can't really tell that. But that picture doesn't do you justice. The ones that are online, but much better than that.
Well, if she's going to end up, as she just described, later, maybe take a still.
Yeah, well, that's why I want to let everybody see her now.
Like get it that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At not that 7 you won't p.m. Be then, and just, 10 p.m. You know,
right. The before
anyway,
and after.
Good weekend. It was fun.
What you might also want to start doing is bringing Benadryl with you and just leaving it here.
Super good idea.
We might
Zyrtec
or whatever it is.
Yeah. I have some. Do you want some?
Seriously,
I have Walzer, but it's like it's the same thing.
Okay, I do.
Okay, that's the first drug deal in Studio C. We're going. As long as you're not passing dime bags across the desk.
Oh, that's
perfect. Oh, look at
perfect.
You. What is now? Why do you just carry that around, Marnie?
I had to make a stop. This works out lovely.
It really
I
does
had to make a stop,
me.
And Mom needed that, so I ran in to get the other stuff I needed and went. Well. I'll go get that.
Yeah, I'm thinking somebody's got an allergy because she's got a bag and a brand new bottle.
Yeah, this is genius.
Yeah, so that's
good. Gosh.
I guess that stuff works pretty well.
Well, I'm sure it does. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to sell it.
Well,
I'm guessing.
I mean the generic.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree with you.
Oh, God, I generic everything.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not sure what that really meant.
I'm not sure.
Okay, we may have some health issues before we're done with this. Fortunately, we have somebody who works at a restaurant nearby that could help us.
Right.
Should it all go severely to hell.
Yeah.
Marn?
Yeah.
What? You got a bag full of fun? What is going
kind
on there?
Of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not really.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that it would be nice to get these.
Ooh.
Oh, you know what? Halloween's coming, and they put out all the Halloween candies.
You know, so anyway, that's kind of an early birthday present for you to share with us.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, that and then this.
Oh, what's that? Oh, I love those little wasabi almonds.
Yeah. I had the tough. I was looking for these the other day, and I could not find them.
Well, maybe they were sold out.
Yeah, they could have been. Really
those
good.
Those are good little bastards.
Yeah,
I do enjoy them. Yes.
So yeah, I'm looking forward. Let's see. It's been a year and a half we've been doing this.
Yeah, we're at 72 weeks. Okay. 72, 73 weeks.
And so it was 24th Street and Thomas, and then it was like 3rd Avenue and Clarendon. 3rd Street and Clarendon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, really central and Camelback. And then, so I'm waiting for 55th Avenue and like, you know, Bethany Home or something.
No.
Because the further we can get for me, I think the better. Timeliest person in the world.
It seems funny that when we started out with this, we were in another studio, and then progressively it's just gotten closer to me. I don't know.
Which coincidentally is closer to me, and I like that very much.
Well, and closer to Al too.
And being that I work from home for my day job, I think I get it. Like, this would be heaven to be able to, you know, work from home and then be able to do this on a Tuesday night. Lovely.
Well,
so I get it.
I eventually want to leave the house again. I think it would be nice. Yeah. unlike Al.
Passing generic drugs the Southern way. I like that. What, now, what are you accusing me of now?
No.
Nothing.
Thank you for paying.
Nothing. If he were to keep his house, I just figured we'd go there next because it's a little bit further.
Well, there's a room open. That's what I thought was. Right. That's where I was like, well, it's open. It's sitting there. It's
no.
It's all tile and it's locked down pretty tight.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The equipment
maybe
isn't going anywhere.
Idea.
It is secure.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So. No, because that would mean I would have to leave this house to go to.
Right.
Well, no. No.
Because like,
then we would never see Al except for Tuesday nights. He would never leave the house ever.
True.
This gets him out.
There is that worry. There was definitely that worry yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know what you did yesterday.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was supposed to go to Mark's for a pool party.
Yeah.
And when I went to bed Monday morning, I had every intention.
Sure.
Just a few hours sleep and then ride my bike over there for a pool party.
No.
Well, I opened my eyes at one point, and I was like, it sounds like it's raining. So I'm like, all right, so pool party's probably over.
Yeah.
Turns out it rained for like the 30 seconds I peeked my eyes.
Really 30 seconds.
Yeah. Slept till 5:30, 5:45. Like, usually when I get up for work, pretty close, a little bit later. And just could not. I was like, oh, there's groceries in the house. There's absolutely nothing for me to get up for. I put on underwear, and I'm like, all right, let's do it. Watch TV, went back to bed.
I'm surprised you actually put on underwear.
Nice. Well, it was a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Rental couch. I'm just kidding.
Because he's always on the couch with a shawl or an Afghan or whatever you call those
things.
The
Afghan was on yesterday. And last night I'm like, all right, maybe you can take the Afghan off.
Yeah, maybe.
That's fine. What were you watching?
I don't even know. I was so tired. It was a combination of like CNN and a couple movies. I don't know. Both kind of, I was just working through Netflix.
Rolling in and out of sleep.
Yeah, it really was. And then I didn't wake up today till 2:00. And now nice. I went yesterday. There was an excuse. You know, I got off work at like 7:30, 7:45. I went home. I only did a couple things. I really went to bed right away, but. You know, I went to bed yesterday at 3:30 and I woke up at 2:30. Like, yeah.
That's a little bit of sleep. I'm going to stretch.
And then I was just listening to music. And
like, I can't even imagine. I get like 5 hours and I'm like, God, that was a lot.
Well, that's probably more. And those 2 days I slept for the last five combined because I just no sleep. And I worked 52 hours in
it's
4 days. So I was like, yeah.
That is so many hours of work.
It's a couple.
It is. It's good.
But he's a workaholic, so it's not like...
Yeah, it's actually down for me.
Yeah, but he loves it.
Every time you come here, I mean, you really make it sound like all you do is sleep, because this is your off time. So every time you roll in, you're like, I mean, I've slept a lot. And so, that guy is late. That restaurant worker is really... He must not be doing very well.
I don't want to eat where he is.
No money for tips there.
Exactly. I've been awake for 7 straight days, but recently I slept for a couple.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if you could actually do that? I hear meth addicts do, but it would be great if you could just do like 7 days in a row and then just sleep for like 3 solid and it'd be okay.
Yeah.
I'm very productive, I think.
You can't catch up on sleep.
No, you
can't. All you can do is get the 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah, well, I woke up. I was telling Katie earlier when she got here that I was so exhausted and done because I worked the day show yesterday at the bar, and that, you know, drug on, no pun intended, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and again. So then finally when it ended, I finally was able to sit down for the first time in however since 2:00 when I got there. Had a couple of beverages, and I'm like, I am just done. I couldn't care less about seeing any of you people. Sorry. And I got up, and I was in bed by 10:30.
Oh, my God. That's
good
so early.
You.
Yeah. It was
good
like 10:30. I was in
for
bed.
You. Real early.
And I intended to take a nap. The thought was, I'll sleep for a couple hours, and then I'll get up and do, you know, no. So at 7:00, I woke up from a nightmare that this all was going terribly wrong. So I'm like, well, that's a sign to get up and do something. So I have been going since 7 this morning.
Yeah, we had a... in the last couple of years, being with Aaron, and just, you know, how you get in a relationship.
Keep rubbing it in.
And
keep rubbing it in.
No.
Wish I had somebody. Thank you.
But how your schedule changes, and you're doing different things. And Mom and I used to spend a ton of time together,
mm-hmm.
and now not as much. And I kind of think that she didn't anticipate this being the time we would spend together, like on Mondays, the last two Mondays. But she adores Aaron and would do anything for her. So she has been with me at Aaron's house getting some stuff together because I get, without going into it, last Monday a bag rustled. And that's really all it took. And I ran out the door and there's a... like an archway in mm-hmm. front of Aaron's house. Like, so you have your little porch, little tiny porch. You go out the door, you go to the left or the right. Or if you hear a bag rustle and it makes you nervous, you fly out the door through that thing and just stand in the middle of the yard. And that's what I did, and then called my mommy. Can you come over? Because I'm scared. So that was last Monday. And yesterday she came over and we spent like five and some hours kind of putting everything in plastic and just getting, which we should have done a long time ago, just because of smell, you know, like taking everything and all the dust and all the construction kind of stuff. So we should have done that a long time ago. But we spent, it was very fun with Mom doing that. So it's just nice to be able to spend some time together.
Tea.
Yeah. but not how I I think she was kind of thought maybe a movie and dinner, but
yeah,
bagging up some stuff, bagging up a house,
texting it from the vermin.
Yeah. And every time any kind of anything would happen and I'm like, I'm good. I'm a little dramatic. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. We were wrapping stuff in plastic and a piece of plastic whisked kind of down and hit my leg. Forget it.
Like, yeah.
I almost had to go to the restaurant. So
I thought you were going to say restroom.
Yeah,
so I
thought, he had an accident.
That right. as well, and there's no functional bathroom there, so that makes it even more difficult.
I have the
there will be soon.
The down-filled bed and the goose pillows and all that shit. And the one you heard the story about the one day with the big giant feather. And there's always feathers all over my house. And sometimes I look at them and I
casualty of being a gay man.
Yeah, and then exactly marabou. And so the one day it's like kind of twilighty, dusky in my house, and I looked down and I thought it's giant bug, and I screamed and I jumped up and I stepped out at my bare feet, and then I screamed even harder because I realized that there was gonna be like a giant cockroach squished underneath my bare feet, or it was going to bite me.
Right.
It was the gentle tickle of a feather. But I almost had a heart attack and moved. My first response was, all right,
get
it's your
house.
Get
the fuck out of this house.
Yeah, it's your house. I'm going.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. You can have it.
Gentle tickle of a dumb.
I'm there. I got him with you on that. That's funny.
But it was ridiculous. Straight up panic.
Yeah.
That's panic where I went first, yeah.
I understand.
But it's so ridiculous how when you build something up in your mind that and it's every time I go, like if I walk this certain way in the house, I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Everywhere
and
I go.
And then, you know, right. And that's the way it feels. Like I'm done.
Well, like you're on Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Well, and when it comes to vermin, too.
Just in general. You bet. Yeah.
Right.
I look at every corner when I walk in a room. My eyes, like, I do a scan. I'm like, this corner, that corner, corner, corner. Right. Look at all, like, anywhere that a bug might be.
Might be.
When I go into the bathroom, like, our toilet is back set, you know, in the bathroom. And every time I'm like, and I have to like look around. I will, honest to God, I will sometimes go bang, bang, bang with the toilet lid just in case anything's in there and wants to crawl out real quick before I like.
Now, do cockroaches have hearing? I don't mean to be stupid. I don't know.
No, but I think they feel it. They respond.
That's what I was like, I don't know.
They clearly have sight because you turn the light on, they run like
hell. That's true. Well, yeah. I'm just thinking, if nothing else, if they do have, if it's not about the sight, I'll get one of those blowhorn thing. Before I go into any room.
And then all your guests will think it came out of you.
Yes, Harry.
And in my super, uber, duper stoned years in Niagara Falls in the basement, I was in the basement.
And by that he means 15th.
And every once in a while, there'd be like this... I can't even make the right noise. Mm-hmm. It was like this weird noise, and I would hear it, and then, you know, the music would have to stop, so it was very rare that I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would be like walking around like, okay, I think I heard something. And it went on for like 2 weeks, and finally I didn't want to say anything because I didn't, you know, the paranoia that comes from being stoned. I didn't want to like confess to my mom that this is one of
I'm
two
high,
things.
And this is
there's
why.
Something in the walls, or the my pot dealer has really given me a bad drop. So finally, I said it to my mom. Was like, oh yeah, there's mice. We have mice, but we didn't want to tell you because we know you freak out about everything. And I'm like, so you gaslamped me, like you let me think I was insane. And then my dad was so offended that my sisters and my mom had not told me. He thought I knew. He was so mad, not only that I reacted that way, but that they had like kept me from knowing that he made me empty the mouse traps for like the whole, because he was like, you will do it. So I had to like set the mouse traps and like empty the carcasses every day.
Wait a minute, why would he make you do that if they held information from you?
Right, but then when he found out that I had the same panic attack I did the first time I saw a spider on
okay, got it.
He was like, all right.
He's trying to butch you up.
Man up just
there are too many things kind of like with that, because I have
But I was like 15 years old. It wasn't like a 6-year-old.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I'm 43, and I feel like I'm four when all that happens. And
sometimes that works that way.
But being that afraid of something is just frustrating the shit out of me.
And it's only being afraid because it startles you. It's not like, now I'm like, it's a mouse. Mouse or nothing. Rat, we have a problem.
Yeah,
like,
alert
NASA.
I would literally...
It's time for me to go explore space.
And I would rather see a mouse any day or anything over
a cockroach.
Anything. When I go up to my parents' cabin and they live in the woods and they set out, because they get mice, they just do. And they come in there and there's no neighbors. I mean, it's the woods. And I don't, I've seen, it's been very rare that I saw one in the garage at one point. Fine. You know, there's wood piles everywhere. And I saw one dead in the sink that was...
A
mouse. I didn't get it out because it was like I had turned on the faucet and was doing something, and then I looked in and now it was dead and wet.
Yeah.
And then, that was a dad job.
Waterboarding, exactly what I was thinking.
I'm okay with it.
That was a dad job. Yeah. But the last time I went up there and it was just Kelly and I, my mom said, well, we saw a mouse, and so we've set a bunch of traps, and here's where we set them, and you need to, you know, before you and Palmer and Kelly start wandering around the house, you walk around and check the traps. And I was totally, I didn't find anything, but I was completely comfortable. I was like, all right, fine. If there's a mouse and there's a mouse trap, I'm going to just get it out. But if she was like, well, we set roach traps everywhere, I would have been like, I'm coming home. I'm turning around 8 hours, driving back home. Yeah. Don't care.
I don't disagree with you. There's something like, then again, anything that moves faster than I do.
Oh, God.
Anything. And so that qualifies that I like turtles and snails.
I was going to say,
depending
how
on
many
the
things?
Turtle and the snail.
Yeah,
and then there was that movie that came out. Was it a turtle or a snail that's super fast? The snail?
Oh, yeah. The slide.
Yeah, and I thought, I can't see it. But, you know, the idea of these things just being there.
God, they're awful. Yeah.
I don't, and that you don't know, and I think that they're all watching. They're just like off, and they're like, did you see her? She went and bought Daigon.
Do you think?
You know,
do you
she
think
went
you,
and bought that.
Stupid bitch.
You live in a cartoon. They're
no,
all like talking.
But that's how crazy they're making me. Like I feel like because everywhere is putting something.
Like Tom and Jerry or something.
Yeah,
going,
totally.
No, or Joe's Apartment, which is a horrible, horrifying movie. You remember that?
Oh,
Joe's Apartment.
Yeah. I
thought
you
meant
Gansick.
No. No. Joe's Apartment was that MTV short that was turned into a movie with Jerry O'Connell.
Okay.
I've actually looked it up a few times, and I don't know that I've ever found the answer, but I am curious to know. You know, his apartment is infested with cockroaches, and he talks to them, and they help him. I don't know if he talks to them, but they help. He's not scared of them. They're all over the place.
Okay.
And they, like,
and it was filmed with mostly real cockroaches.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, mostly real. There's a cockroach wrangler that they just... And he
and
actually
a job.
He actually worked on, ended up working on The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
Because there
were,
of the moths.
Were there like a lot
thing?
Of roaches?
Because
on
of the moths. No, because of the moths.
Is he a moth wrangler too?
Yes. And they just like to, he works with all bugs really.
He's
good.
An insect guy.
Yeah.
Insect
and
wrangler.
I just saw an interview with him about The Silence of the Lambs, and they were talking about having seen his work in Joe's Apartment and finding out that it was predominantly real.
Because that's suicide.
CGI
that makes, I would commit suicide.
CGI didn't really exist then. So
I would literally would rather die.
Thank you for that. It's good to know.
And they had to have the part in The Silence of the Lambs where he opens it up and he strokes it and then like the bug comes
the
out.
Cockroach. The
so
cockroach.
One of the things for the, one of the thing, no, in The Silence of the Lambs, it's
no,
a moth.
No,
the moth.
Moths
okay.
are gross, but I can do a moth.
No, but you have to see the size of the moth. And so they had to make sure that the actor was comfortable with it because they're like, this is going to be real. Like,
oh.
like you are literally going to pull
no, and then it flutters or it does something. fuck it.
Yes.
I need Depends because I've just shot myself.
And now perhaps prior to 1990, so February of, I was okay with Moths or Butterfly.
Right.
But the day after I saw The Silence of the Lambs.
Not so much.
I saw a moth in my garage. I'm like, a serial killer's in the house!
Somebody get a tweezers. I have something in my throat.
Yes.
Oh, God, I forgot that.
Oh, God, I forgot that.
Jeez,
and I did, and it did. It landed like a moth came into my garage and landed
like
on my car
one.
Door. And I'm like, I'm done.
Oh,
gotta move.
God.
Calm down. Gotta move. Go to space.
I'll well, work it. I got a moth.
There's a. It's too late now for all of the really great
for
reactions.
For Aaron's house.
For Aaron's house, right.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, I don't man. Think so. And if I thought that I'd be the first one to fucking say yes, but I don't think so. But had cameras been able to be in there this whole time, that'd be some funny shit. Like, eventually. Oh, like, we're God. Not going to laugh about it right then.
Yeah.
But right after.
The next season when
oh,
it's on.
God. We're going to laugh our
Rodent
ass.
Dynasty.
Yeah, exactly.
Swamp People. What you know, you? Swamp People's cousin, Marnie.
Oh, and it's not entertainment, so I'll tell you now. Duck Dynasty oh. came back with the biggest numbers in like broadcast history.
It's crazy. Oh, sure. I heard that this morning.
So they're already saying that the Walking Dead is pretty much set to be the biggest hit of the season wow. because it's following something that no one can figure out. Like
seriously.
They just don't understand where these numbers are coming from. It's
unreal.
Now the highest rated thing.
Do you watch
any,
it?
No, no. I don't.
Are you
I
kidding?
Saw, I only saw commercial ones.
I mean, I. Oh. Apparently everyone else is.
I'm not watching it.
Not,
I just saw a segment no. this morning no, on Good Morning America with one of the uncles who was there going through, showing the boardroom to this company, and it's all a bunch of Lazy Boy recliners that they just sit in and talk about
oh my
stuff.
God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Seriously?
And honest to God, no one can understand, but it beat every single thing for the last year, the last
it's,
broadcast
it's
year.
Insane.
Yeah, do you think it's one of those things where people are just like,
Yeah, you would understand if that was like one or
happening.
Two episodes, but I guess
sure.
this is like the third
they,
well, or fourth
they maybe,
or fifth
maybe,
season.
Maybe people tuned in for that reason, like sure. what, and then they just got hooked. If what baffles
well,
me about
Boo-Boo.
That,
I mean, to me, it's the same concept,
yeah.
just
yeah.
dumb.
What blows my mind about the Duck Dynasty, though, is that all of those wives are really hot. Like they all have really hot wives.
Well, they chase the money.
Well, I suppose. Yeah.
I don't think they had money though prior.
Yeah, the one
well,
guy
the one
may or may not run for Congress.
Well,
that's freaky.
Uncle Cy or C or whatever the hell his name was. It was on the morning he actually they said this morning on the show he asked her to marry him 75 times over the time that they were dating and they've been together 45 years
oh that's
so
the,
they've
that's
been
the, like
forever.
The matriarch patriarch
right,
of the family
right now but as far as the other ones are concerned I have no clue as to where they fall and but you're right though the wives are driving
they're
like wonderful Mercedes
women.
And hot and running board meetings at different things and charity events and,
yeah
yeah, you're right. I don't.
And the husbands are like walking around in yeah
with,
camo
with
duck and
duck
calls. Pants.
That's not okay.
Just, okay,
just
now this show started. Its first episode ever was March 21st of 2012. So
what? A year?
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
Almost? No, yeah, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So and it's been like they're in the beginning of season four, which aired August 14th. So we're now like.
That's insane.
Wait, how do you have four seasons over the course of 2 years?
Because it's cable TV, so they can do whatever the fuck they want to. So they that's just nice. Do, it's like Tosh.0. You can't figure out when Tosh.0 starts
on
or stops.
And off.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You just keep watching because you may have not seen the one video he's
yeah.
going to show you.
Right.
That's the way I go with it.
Yeah.
Ah, holy crap. It's 7:34. It is a Tuesday night. We are in the middle of our first show coming to you live from Studio C in Central Phoenix. I'm hoping that we are not moving for quite some time. Because I'm not.
No.
I've been here
I think you'll be there a while.
Over 12 years. I'm good to stay right where I am. We're coming back.
Don't jinx it, though.
In just a few minutes with some headlines. And Al's got entertainment. We have a drinking word coming up a little bit later. So much more. Stick around, won't you? Not exactly sure why that sounds like shit, but we'll figure that out later, I guess.
And you have all week here to,
well,
to figure
yeah,
it out.
Well, yeah, any time. It's very convenient. Here are some headlines for tonight. A rummage sale painting worth $390,000.
The fifth time is a charm.
What's this? An anti-gay councilwoman target of an ethics charge?
Gay blood drive?
Woman wakes up from a coma, realizes she's pregnant.
The first Minnesotans file for same-sex divorce.
The IRS sees taxes for gays the same as everyone else.
After 66 years... we leave on the same day.
Inmate had loaded gun in his ass, officials say.
Ouch.
Bang, bang.
There
you shot me down. Bang, bang.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So always, there's always time for a Cher.
There's
song.
Always. Well, I was thinking of the Cher or Nancy Sinatra. Either way. Well, across the big pond to London, a postcard-sized painting bought as part of a box of items sold at auction for a mere $46 over 10 years ago, and then was left hidden away in a drawer for about a decade. Well, it has been identified now as a work by a gentleman named John Constable, and it's worth more than $390,000. Why yeah, do I not go to those rummage sales?
Why can't that happen to us?
Right, no shit. Robert Darvell bought a cardboard box full of items, including this small artwork, which depicts a rural scene of trees, a bright blue sky, and a meadow at a sale in Canterbury, which is in southern England, more than 10 years ago. There was a faint signature on the back of it, and Darvell didn't think much of it, so he passed it on to his son, who decided the curiosity got the better of him, and he looked into the painting's story to find out more about it. Apparently, there is a show on British TV called Treasure Detectives. A guy named Curtis Dowling hosts it. He is a fake and forgery expert, and after a year-long journey, determined that indeed it was an actual painting by John Constable. By the way, he lived, John Constable lived from 1776 to 1837 and was an English romantic painter famous for landscapes of the English countryside. In the last year, a Constable painting called The Lock became the most expensive British painting ever sold, fetching $34.8 million at Christie's. In London.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Seriously. Right. What did you say it was? Like a meadow and what?
Right. It's a, well, actually, if you go online, it's on CNN right now. Okay. You can find it's just a little tiny, literally a postcard thing. It depicts a rural scene of trees, a bright blue sky, and a meadow.
Well, that's why I didn't get it. I mean, that would, I would be like, there's not enough happening in that.
Well, no, but he bought it with a box of other shit. And
oh,
to be
got
it.
I'm like, yeah, because that would bore me.
Mm. Now, you'll find it, again, CNN.com, if you want to find more about that story. But anyway, there's that.
Well, and God bless him.
Yeah.
Fuck him at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, my.
So, sure. Fifth time is a charm.
Fifth?
Fifth time is a charm.
My favorite story.
Oh, that's right.
Diana Nyad completed the Cuba to Florida swim.
110 miles?
Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's if she goes in a straight line, which, as it turns out from the documentary I watched yesterday, she does not.
No, she's like, I can't do anything.
She never
can't.
Asked for directions.
I can't follow the rules.
Oh.
Anyway, the find a way and never ever give up, her mantras, obviously. She's tried this five times. She's 64 years old.
Yep. Okay.
And has been doing this since she was 29. Like her first time.
Wow.
Right. Not every year. This is only her fifth try.
Right.
But she went, and I believe she finally got to the shores, came out somewhere on the morning of her 30th birthday, but it just did not count. There are other people that have tried to do the...
well, there's a hell of a lot of Cubans that did it on the hood of a truck.
Well, but that's different.
Okay, not swimming.
So they, in 97... there was an Australian woman named Susie Maroney who completed the swim, but she was within a shark cage.
Okay.
And that was apparently the first time that Nyad did it as well, was within the shark cage.
Okay.
Yes, back in the 70s. And it wasn't really a shark cage so much as it was like a catamaran where they had built like a cage around the front. So she was swimming.
Under the catamaran?
Kind
within
of.
Within it, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of, she was kind of like inside a boat, but in the water. It was very strange how they did it back in. It was like 78 or 79.
Well,
the documentary that's on CNN, and I think they'll start, it was meant to air, but it's getting bumped by Syria, but it's... they aired it once last night, and it's really interesting to see all the technology involved.
Because
she is using a shark repellent, but it's electronic, and it's in the two kayaks that ride alongside of her. They have an electronic shark repeller on either kayak, and she follows a red line so that she doesn't – a red phosphorus line so she doesn't have to see the boat because she goes so far off track. But they can't put a light down because lights attract sharks.
Oh,
and she has shark followers. Like, it's a couple $100,000 every time she attempts this to assemble the team.
Right.
There's a doctor.
What I thought was, and a couple of the key points about her not only completing this but making history doing it is that exactly that. Not only did she not have the shark cage, of course she has support so that she, she's not just like jumping off of the
shore. Because
you
can't go 53 hours without water, which it didn't occur
salt,
to me until I watched this thing.
She was throwing up, like she water, was vomiting
food,
and whatever.
She would kind of haul over and
they would kind of feed
her
back,
through
a tube, yeah.
And they'd give her peanut butter, protein powder. There were a couple of other little things that she was eating.
Water with electrolytes. Because her body shuts down. Like they said this, the people that were talking, I'm sorry to interrupt you, they were saying that it becomes a race against her body because she's burning more calories than she could possibly
consume. She lost 6 pounds over the course of that. What,
so it's a race because her body starts shunting.
That's what I said.
Maybe. And that'll be your next diet. That's great.
She's got like 80, she's only in like 80, above it's got to be above 80 degree water, otherwise hypothermia would set in.
Right, because
so, but her body temperature is still down from 98.6 to low 80, so she's in a hypothermic state. I mean, all the things that they were saying, so she has to get there before literally she dies.
And there are, like, doctors on the boats, and the shark watchers on the boats, and all these people. But what I, the other, couple of the other pieces that made it historic, she also did not wear a wetsuit. Which is a really big deal.
The hypothermia part of it,
she just swam in her bathing suit, which is a big deal. She did have a, one of the years that she had attempted it, she encountered a really rough bout with a box jellyfish, and she got stung the shit out of, like, really infected, and had to quit the
paralyzing
attempt.
Like stings from the
so
the jellyfish.
and the jellyfish are there, but it has a lot to do with the weather patterns and the water patterns. And so, you know, they were saying it today, I'm sure we've all heard that it's been the weather and the currents were really on her side.
The current was going north, not east, like it had been,
and so that kept the weather in check. It kept the box jellyfish were not there. They were, some were there, but they weren't.
And she wears a mask.
Bad. She wears a facial mask.
That goes into her mouth, but it makes her swallow. It makes her swallow salt water, which is why she's vomiting while she's swimming.
Additionally, but the salt water.
What it does is the mask, it goes, it, they have on here, it, it's a special mask to prevent jellyfish stings to her tongue. Because that's what, and then it was getting very swollen.
Yeah. So not only was she getting so much, but they were stinging her face and in her tongue in the course
and
of
you
the
can
50
see,
hours.
Even with that mask, you can see her, like, all her lips are real swollen up.
But that's the,
the
mask cutting. The mask, was cutting up her mouth, and that was causing the lacerations.
She has all the cuts in her mouth, and then her face was really swollen, which didn't have anything to do with jellyfish. It just had to do with, when she got out, her face was swelled up because of all the salt water.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was face down for all that time, so all the blood. Like, if you lay on your face, if you get a massage, you get the big lips and your eyelids.
It looks so good after that.
When this headline started, it was such a feel-good story. Yeah. And now it's just god-awful.
Well, that's what makes it
she looks better today. It's amazing.
To me, it's what makes it a feel-good story is because she's 64 years old and she endured all that and swam for 53
straight.
Hours.
And I'm
straight.
Not going to lie. After, I
she's
mean,
nuts.
Let's think about doing it the first time. Or not.
Yeah.
But if you were going to, and that was your pension, you were going to, like, I'm going to do this. And then you get stung all of those times, and
you have an
sharks,
and
the asthma attack, and sharks, all
vomiting.
Of this. I don't know. I'm thinking, I'm saying, nah, fuck that. That was, but then I tried.
Wait,
I tried.
And to wait, like, she did it once when she was 29, once when she was maybe 29 and 30, and then stopped for 30 years, almost exactly.
She said, I'm done.
And then her mom died, and she didn't. And this woman that they're passing off as her best friend, I think it's her girlfriend. I don't know if anybody knows.
I read a whole thing on it. And I don't
lesbian.
Think so.
Oh, okay. Well, they.
But I read this whole thing on it.
Is she know Napolitano?
Maybe they broke up.
It is Napolitano, actually. Yeah. So they're best friends.
Siegfried and Roy is a team there.
Right.
Yeah.
God bless them both.
Both
and playing the part
Android.
Of Stingray.
Yeah.
Would be the Tigers.
So she didn't know. So she just, like, 4 years ago at 60. All of a sudden, Diana was going back to the pool, trying swims. The going to the pool to swim turned into 5 hours, 6 hours. And then they showed her do a 24-hour swim in the ocean, and they said she was completely lost. Turns out she had swam in a circle, wasn't even close. That's when they knew they had to do something to get her on course, because she was not doing it, which is when they came up with the phosphorus light. But they were so excited that she swam for the 24 straight hours at 60.
God damn it.
I can't. Amazing. I literally, when I do triathlons, like when I did 2.5 miles, or what, not even, I did 2 miles, let's say, and I, and that took me.
Things normally Marnie says.
Let's say.
2 miles,
maybe
two and a little
feet.
Bit.
Yeah.
No, it was two, or over 2 miles. And she swam 110, and I swam 2, and I was fucking exhausted. I mean, I was exhausted, and I came out of that and having to go into the bike and the run. I had trained naturally as she had, but you know, that took me, however, I don't know, let's say 30 minutes, maybe 20 some odd minutes. And it's exhausting. And in 2 miles, I have to continue to roll over on my back and do some backstroke and do the elementary chicken tea rocket backstroke and really rest. And And it's I've never
heard of the chicken tea rocket.
Yep. It's the chicken tea rocket. I can teach you all sometime.
No, by the way, I know it, but I've never heard it called that.
I've never heard it
like
called
the fog, like a,
I thought
like
it was the foghorn leghorn for a minute. I wasn't sure. No, I'll say, you're swimming, boy.
Come on,
That's great.
Boy.
But anyway, really impressive. So cool. I heard an interview with her today.
The 64 part cannot
you're
be.
You're never too old to chase your dreams. Come on.
That's what she said, but she also said, everyone says, you know, oh, the great part, you know, it's all in the journey. And she said today, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. That was my favorite part. She's like, which is awesome. I accepted that the first four times I failed, but you know what? Now it's about the destination.
Yeah, you heard her say that. She's like, it mattered. Yeah. When I walked up onto the shore, that's what it was about. Yeah. So it was it was incredibly great energy today. Yeah. Really spunky, really happy. It was very cool.
That Bonnie Stoll is her best friend and chief trainer. Yeah. That's quote what unquote. We call girlfriend now.
Best friend.
Yeah. And Barack, congratulations to @Diane and I at Never Give Up on Your Dreams. So kind of cool that that he got involved. He has a few other things going
on. Took his foot off the desk.
Syria.
Took his foot off the desk. Did you see that bullshit?
What? No, what happened?
There's a picture of him standing, and he's got his one foot on the desk of the Oval Office while he's on the phone, and Joe Biden's sitting next to him, and the Tea Party's all up in arms, the disrespect to the office.
Oh, and he's not wearing a jacket.
Oh, and he's not wearing a jacket.
How dare the president walk into the Oval Office without a coat and put his foot on the desk?
So then they have pictures of like George Bush with his like sitting with his feet up on the desk,
kicked back on the phone,
a cowboy hat and like a line.
So then of course they're
probably drunk.
Probably has a line of Coke next to him.
Thank you.
Yeah. What a douche!
It was just such a thing. So the people that sent put it on the Tea Party page of like all the presidents they had that put their feet up on the desk. It's a tiring job. Sometimes you can relax.
Well, and sometimes you should kick back and you know, you're the president.
Yeah.
Just be near the bat phone. Yeah. I don't care.
And he was literally on the bat phone. That's the best part.
Doesn't it make you want to stab? It makes you want to stab people. Yeah. Mostly Tea Partiers.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Mostly. Yeah.
Mr. McKee.
Well, I don't even know that I have a Florida story, but we'll find out.
A nice story just ended in Florida.
That's a positive.
Yeah, but that's
a nice
one. That kind of buffs the shine on Florida for a little bit right there.
The penis of America.
Speaking of us.
You can never buff the penis of America.
Well, not without a crazy outcome. Oh, now, wait a minute. Speaking of George W. or George H.W., let's go to Texas. San Antonio, to be specific, a city councilwoman whose secretly recorded staff meeting revealed her anti-gay and anti-transgender views is now, oddly, the target of an ethics charge based on her comments of that very meeting. Elisa Chan, Asian, has been charged. Well,
intentionally
they always,
racist.
Right, well, no. Yeah. No, it's just because every news report, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, Scott Smith, gay man. Yeah. You know, so we have Elisa Chan,
homo,
Asian,
right.
Has been charged with ethics violations by a local citizen and Democratic consultant who filed the complaint as a direct result of the May 21st recording that shows Chan disparagingly giving remarks with the LGBT people and using her taxpayer paid staff and office for political purposes, a direct violation of San Antonio City Council rules. Chan had said that she believes homosexuality is a choice, that gay people, quote, take hormone shots, and that gay people should be, quote, banned from adopting or raising children. Chan also attacked the marriage of a former city councilman, lesbian, whose legal wife is a transgender woman. Now that I said lesbian, I don't know what the hell you call that. It was your... Katie, can we deflect to you on this? So if you are a city council woman whose legal wife is a transgender woman,
I mean yes, you are a lesbian.
Yeah,
maybe not in the bedroom, but you are.
But you may be. I mean, who knows? Nobody knows.
Depends on the state of surgical.
In a subsequent release of additional audio, Chan can also be heard gossiping about the former councilwoman and asking, "quote So what kind of marriage is that anyway?
Oh, what a cunt!
First C word of the night. In studio C, which is for those of you wondering why it's called Studio C. Now you know.
You're welcome.
Throughout the audio, Chan.
Here in Cunt Studio.
Welcome to the Mug of America.
Throughout the audio, Chan and her staff are also heard debating and strategizing on how best to vote against a proposed anti-discrimination ordinance. At one point, Chan brings out a draft of an op-ed piece that would bear her name to be published in a local paper explaining why she opposes the ordinance. She can then be heard saying that if it isn't well received, she can pretend she didn't know what transgender was and claim that she later Wikipedia'd it and would then apologize.
Oh my God.
Chan is rumored to be considering a state Senate run. An opinion piece in the San Antonio Current looks at her chances. Quote, will anti-LGBT remarks hurt Chan's shot at the Texas State Senate? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Probably not.
They'll probably like her even better. Now, wait, did we talk about that last week? For
we did. We brought up her, but we didn't.
The fact that the ethics committee is going after her.
Right, but now the full charges have been filed against her.
And I feel like there's more to the story that we're hearing now than we did last week. Like, I don't remember the piece about her going, well, I'm just going to say I Wikipedia'd the transgender bit. It's just bullshit.
No, but what they said, but there was more audio that was released from the same meeting.
Oh, I see.
So more came
out. Yeah, that's what
that.
I mean, right? It seems like
before
more,
I forget, I do want to just shoot a hello to Germany listening. Also,
hi, Germany.
Costa Rica and New Zealand.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
We've heard from New Zealand before.
I don't think so either, but they're on board listening. Thank you for listening.
The Kiwis. Fantastic.
Welcome aboard. It's love. I work with several Kiwis.
And do hit us up in the chat room and let us know what you're doing and how you found us, if you would. But yeah, so that bitch in San Antonio, just run her the fuck out of town.
Well, isn't there...
They're probably going to elect her to be mayor, maybe governor of Texas.
There's another one down there, because Texas and Florida have a lot in common.
Oh, yeah. My one-woman boycott does affect both states.
Good call.
Both really the penis and the balls of our nation. As they look anatomically.
Playing bags. Yeah. What? Down there in Texas.
Playing.
So what do you... Wait.
You want a cornhole, you got to come through Canada.
So wait. So you got what? Louisiana, Alabama. What's all that
That's
between?
That's the taint. Think about it.
Okay.
I'm really going to go there, and I'm like, I'm going to let it go. It's really more shaft,
I think, but still. Oh. I-10 runs through all of it.
Yep.
These are places I'm not going.
Oh, I've driven all the way there and flew back.
Been there.
Ran back.
Been there, no.
No, I made him pay for a flight.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Next story.
So out in California, we had talked a while back about the blood drive that they had.
Oh, yes.
Right? That throughout the nation, they did, there was a blood drive to get all people that, gay men, because of the ban since like 82, I think, to get all gay men to go and test outside of this, like in these mobile stations.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got their results, to go in.
And donate
and
blood.
Try to donate blood.
Oh, okay.
Put in, but be honest and say, I'm a gay man. Because that's where the stop comes.
Right.
The minute that they say that, they're turned away.
Not gay, but you've had sex with a man in the last 5 years.
Had sex with a man, correct. But the blood drive, thank you for that clarification, but the blood drive was going for the idea of, because of the connotation of gay.
Yeah. Well, because they don't ask the woman if she's had sex with a man.
You're right, absolutely. And
or is it sex? Maybe it is sex with a homosexual.
I think it's gay.
Have you had sex with a man who's had sex with another man?
Yeah, it's something. Okay.
So they do ask women.
Oh, yeah, there is something, yeah.
Okay.
So they feel like the bird is a bird, is a bird is a bird.
What are we doing here? Sex with the man, sex with another man, sex with the man.
Hummin'
Let's travel to any of these countries.
52, 54, 54.
You bought it.
Sold. Next call.
Exactly.
So this was a big push. Well, the mayor in California, in Sacramento.
Capital.
Would like to end this gay ban, considering the fact that he's gay, and went to, it's actually Campbell, California, forgive me. And he went to the blood drive, that he had put together. He had worked to put this together and he was turned away.
Mm.
And he was turned away. And he kind of.
That makes no sense. They've been testing blood for HIV.
And it's 83, not 82.
I'm sorry. 85. I think the test for HIV came on 85, 86. And they've kept the ban in place for like 26, 27 years for no reason whatsoever, except for it was never. The climate politically was never right to lift the ban on gays. Right. That's the only reason.
But other countries have gone crazy doing it.
Oh, yeah. The wind has just never blown the right way for the American Red Cross. To say, or I can't remember, it's blood.
It's the Red Cross.
The Red Cross.
Yeah, the American Red Cross. Because their clout is always
in
question.
And it's the FDA policy. It's an FDA policy.
FDA policy, but American Red Cross has the power to like make the recommendation.
To say no.
This is ridiculous. We need the blood.
Well, Evan Lowe is the mayor, and he said, you know, following historic wins for openly gay service members striking down DOMA and Prop 8.
See, they use the word wins, too. That's all it is. It's just you're waiting for the right political climate.
Correct, the right time.
That's all it is.
And ending discrimination against gay scouts, this is the next step in the LGBT equality movement.
And this is a big one. When they're looking for blood drives and you're eliminating that big of a part of the population,
and the step
stupid.
The FDA should take if its interest is in keeping the blood supply healthy and saving lives throughout the country.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense because you're exactly right. And I don't know if you run into problems at the restaurant, if there are any kind of issues.
I have worked where we've depleted the blood bank.
But isn't it like typically
Oklahoma
bombings.
You've run out.
Yeah,
right. Like it, with things happening, like in Oklahoma,
or a trauma or something like that, where or someone who's
that's awful.
That you like you've given so much blood, you've emptied the blood bank.
Mm. So, and you're just talking about one person, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so think about something happening, like right, I said, like right. With Oklahoma or September Boston. 11th, Boston.
Boston. I mean, that's the unfortunately there sure. were no there weren't
the
a lot
earthquakes
of,
out in yeah. California when things happen. I mean, all of that, and there's a whole population of people that we're saying no to. So interesting that all of a sudden he's putting this blood drive together and goes, wait a minute, you mean I can't give blood?
Yeah, and that it almost got yeah. it. Something might have happened in September 11th. I wasn't going to bring this up, but no one showed up at the hospitals.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Super sad.
Wow. Okay. next caller.
Next caller. Okay.
Come on, huh?
Yeah, they were waiting. Wow. No one showed.
Let's jump up from San Antonio, Texas, or from wherever that was, California. Let's go to Oklahoma yeah. City. A loaded gun was found inside an inmate's ass after he allegedly bragged to
that's
other
a dream come true.
After he allegedly bragged to other inmates about his feet. Not his feet, but his F-E-A-T. That's yeah. According to video online from KFOR-TV.
The danger of synonyms. no, that's homonyms.
Authorities say that Mark Gregory Valdez somehow managed to avoid a metal detector because of a high volume of bookings at the jail over the holiday weekend. He instead got a pat-down, which obviously was not enough.
Not thorough.
Sheriff John Westo was quoted as saying, a pat-down would not reveal a Derringer firearm in a secreted body cavity. When asked how Valdez wow. could get a gun in his ass, Oklahoma County Sheriff John Westo said...
Just lucky.
Is it European?
No. They call it keystering.
Oh.
Keystering, awesome. Keystering is what they call it. They take whatever it is and up the hole it goes.
Oh, my word.
Oh, he's
just
been
anything.
He's been in prison before. After apparently. Bragging to inmates, Valdez was searched and the firearm was found. He's now facing felony count of possession of contraband in a penal institution.
Oh, also classic.
Bingo.
Yeah. A lot of homonyms in that story.
Yeah, okay, well, I like it. Good writer. I like it. Probably a gay guy.
Yeah.
You can't donate blood.
God bless him.
What are you going to do? Can't donate blood.
I'm going to write stories.
I'm going to shove a gun up my ass.
Guns in their ass.
So if you can get married, I had started this one last week and went to something different. If you can get married, you can get divorced, obviously, now.
Yeah.
I say obviously, and yet now. August 1st in Minnesota, same-sex marriage became legal.
Mm.
And so did same-sex divorce.
Yep.
That same day.
As night must follow day.
That's right. Because before
hell out of it.
Minnesota began then recognizing August 1st the marriages that were outside of Minnesota. In Iowa, gay marriage was legal.
Long time ago.
So, long time ago. And so people, you know, went from Minnesota down to Iowa, for instance, and they get married, and yay, we're married, and then, oh, fuck, I'd like to get divorced. And yet,
now
couldn't.
I know her.
Yeah, right? And yeah, no, we got to know each other. That was fun. Not really.
Yeah.
So then they wanted to get divorces and couldn't. So they people just felt stuck.
just stuck.
In the keister.
With a gun.
As it
with
were.
A gun. Yeah.
I'm going to take Miss Scarlet with a keister, with a gun and a keister.
In the hallway.
Yeah.
Keistering.
So the interesting piece that I found in this, because how we had talked quite a long time ago about the fact that, you know, now you have wedding planners and you have all this and people are going to go, and there's a huge market now for the gay weddings.
Sure.
And gay divorce.
And you know, gay divorce, I mean, not gay, but divorce lawyers were pushing for gay marriage
right.
the first time they heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Hugely.
Oh my God, we can get more people in this court?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And you know,
the next thing that's coming up on TBS is gay divorce court with Judge
Walker. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Hey!
Whoever. Yeah, RuPaul is going to officiate that.
Fuck Duck Dynasty. I will be watching that show with
so will everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. That
not only
be...
to find out how they catfight, but what are they wearing? What are they doing? How, you know, all that kind of shit.
I want the list of everybody they slept with. And
I want to know how much their wedding cost to begin with.
And sure. That is my best chance of being glamorous socialite appears on witness stand.
We'll
shot.
Call you as well.
Yeah.
When you just said something about the wedding or what were they wearing, it made me think of that great Saturday Night Live skit, which I know we've talked about, the Xanax for gay weddings.
Yes.
Xanax for gay summer weddings.
And I went to visit them. I told you, I went to visit that couple in Rhode Island, and that's my Xanax. They're so unaware of, like, just, I don't want to say
life.
They're not high maintenance, but they don't realize, like, how often they're photographed in really, like, matchy-matchy ensembles. And I love them dearly, but they thought they were the lesbians with the dogs. Oh. Oh, yeah. Or they were the ones that were going to the weddings that didn't know the Beyonce dance. I'm like, no, you would make me learn.
Yeah.
That's like, funny. I'd have to have original choreography and a pianist from the penal keister.
From the keister.
Yes.
You know, the thing that I thought was interesting about this, and this is just an opinion that I hold. You have the straight couples that are out there. They're getting married. They're getting divorced. They're getting remarried. They're getting divorced. They're getting remarried.
And we all know these people.
No.
We do.
They're our political leaders.
No. But I mean gays. We all know these gays that aren't going to fall into that path.
Yes. And that's the, for whatever reason, I think that's the issue that I have with being annoyed with this, reading this whole story, because one of the reasons that this lovely gal wanted to
something about your gesture says you're allergic to cats.
She's pretty. Yeah, exactly. at the time, so she didn't have the ability to remarry either. And that was the thing. So she's with this gal, and within the story, basically fucks around, falls in love with this other gal.
Happens all the time.
And now wants to get a divorce.
And I like that.
But can't.
But aren't you ready for those aha moments? I hate to quote Oprah, but I'm kind of in a pro-Oprah place this month. Yeah. Well, last month.
Fair enough.
A little Oprah hangover. but you know there's going to be people that be like, oh, these fail most of the time.
Right.
Right.
A majority of all marriages fail. Oh, exactly. Shit. We fought our way into this shittiest institution.
Right. Yes. Which goes back to what I always said. Why the hell would anybody who hates gays fight gay marriage so that they would go through the same hell?
Right. Because now all the nasty breakups we've all sat through, all the time we've spent in bars listening to people that have been through horrible breakups.
Yeah, and you call me to meet you to sit through some of that shit too, Al.
I am not opposed to tricking people into taking half the burden.
Sure.
Now there's going to be a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what's different. Now you got a lawyer and you're going
to
start.
And more than likely, one of you doesn't have a goddamn dime to your name anyway.
Right.
So,
now there's not going to be any more. Well, it was my house.
By the way, that'd be me.
Yeah. It was my house. Yeah. So it stays my house. Get the fuck out. Now it's going to be, we're married. It's our house.
Yeah.
Right. Now we're going to go through. Oh my God.
A wave
and
of
it's
shit.
Not a matter of saying that it's not saying gay marriage, well, we shouldn't have had that or we don't want that or anything else.
But we have everybody's been much right to fuck up each other's lives with lawyers as everyone else does.
But the problem that I see is that's where people, straight people that are against it, and people that are against gay marriage are like, see, it's just about the sex. So, Katie June, you brought that up before, that it's all just, sex. And so she went and fucked around and now they have to get a divorce. It's like,
how many straight people go and fuck around? It's the same shit.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But that's what they get to say. Right.
He waits till the partner's in the hospital. Then he fucks around.
Oh, you have cancer? Yeah. I gotta go.
Who's the other asshole? His wife was dying in the hospital.
Oh, John Edwards.
John Edwards, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks,
so it's
Johnny
not that
boy.
It's not there, but it's not. It's a matter of how they look at
and
it.
And where are our chat room people?
I don't know where they are. We'll find them in a minute. It is the end of hour two. Actually, we're past the end of hour two. Going into hour three, we're coming back with some more headlines. Katie Jew is
going
to jump in.
Two.
Katie, what did I say?
I don't know, but
just stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. We've got more to do. Jesus Christ. Katie's coming.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 8:05. It is The Show. I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks for joining us. We are coming to you live from the all-new Studio C in Central Phoenix. Ooh. Along with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, we make up the cast of the show each and every week. Thank you for joining us. If you are in the chat room or listening, please let us know you're out there by saying hello in the chat room.
Yeah, get on the chat room. What's going on?
We should. I don't know where everybody
is. Tyler's here.
Tyler's there. I don't know where everybody is, Tyler.
Everybody's hanging out.
We've still got multiple people in the U.S. That's just on the audio stream, plus Germany and New Zealand. That's audio only. I don't know how many people are watching us live. I'm sure we can find that out somewhere, some way, somehow.
Hey.
I'm not really sure about that. Coming up in just a few minutes, Al's going to give us our drinking words.
Oh, my board just caught up. That's what happened.
Oh, what happened?
My chat room, I guess, was down.
Oh, well,
stand and all by. Of a sudden, like, I punted.
You punted?
I put cunts on there, and everything just flew all these messages.
Oh, I see now. I see. Oh, Tyler's up to speed. Yes, Tyler, that's exactly correct. That's where Studio C is located.
They were all being bitchy during the break. Ooh, yelling at each other, texting shit.
I wasn't texting. They were trying
talking
to text.
Talking behind my back.
Marnie was
getting all
trying
angry
to be
and
bitchy
shit.
And tell what? Me to put my headphones on.
I girl, I shut my hair.
We got a couple more headlines, and then Al's going to give us our drinking word. Also coming up, Al's entertainment segment, where he talks about everything he watched, saw, or wants to criticize in the world of entertainment.
We don't have time for everything I want to criticize. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I thought that was part of hour three.
Yeah.
Currently, we are in the middle of our headline segment, and we will continue on with that right now.
I had a brief add-on for her.
Oh, go ahead. Which story?
The marriage story, and I think she's going to do it, so we're just going to cut a little time. But now you've heard with the multiple states that the federal government has, the IRS has said, if you're legally married in a state.
I haven't got to that headline yet.
Oh, I knew. Okay. Yes. If you're legally married in a state, you're legally married in all 50
everywhere.
Now.
In fact, I will go to that story
now. As far as the IRS is concerned. So that's a big, huge fucking win.
So the government on Thursday said that all legally married gay couples will be able to file joint federal tax returns even if they reside in a state that does not actually recognize same-sex marriages.
That's a huge
The decision
win.
Comes in rules issued by the Treasury Department and the IRS because they want more fucking money. They figured this is a win-win.
It actually gets them less money.
Well, I understand that.
Money.
But also,
And now H&R Block should have been pushing for gay marriage
everybody,
the whole time, too.
Everybody
should be. Right. Yes, everybody.
When you get married.
So the IRS service designated to implement the tax aspects of the Supreme Court's decision in June that invalidated a section of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. Quote, this ruling assures legally married same-sex couples that they can move freely throughout the country knowing that their federal filing status will not change.
That's nice. Now, if we can get insurance companies on board, and then friend of the show, and I think all of us, most of us, some of us, me, Tim DePlanche getting married on Friday.
Friday. Wow. On the coast.
On the coast.
California. Put a picture on Facebook today of the cliff.
Of the cliff that he's getting married on.
I saw the cliff. Not realize that.
Yeah, if you'd have read the whole post.
There might be a marriage there.
It wasn't the picture. It wasn't just a pretty picture.
Huh.
It was
Congratulations, Tim. Yeah. Congratulations. I think that kind of came out of left field. Just now. Katie June.
Or at least the left coast.
Yeah, there you go. So that was, I just wanted to tie all that in because I thought that was an important part when she
it
did
is.
The Iowa to Minnesota thing. Minnesota.
Yeah, and now that they're going to go ahead and recognize.
We're going to Disneyland on Friday for the weekend, and Kelly wants to get married.
Oh.
And like we're going to California.
You
want to
take me with you and I'll go ahead and perform the ceremony?
I am like, I said
goofy?
No. Because I know, right? I said no because I'm freaked out a little bit. We're going to talk to her.
So she proposed and you said no.
Well, it was not a no. It was not a proposal. Please. She basically said, like, should we get married?
This is my house, bitch.
Yeah. I know. She's like, should we get married?
Want to make it yours, too? Yeah.
She's like, did you hear the news? I mean, do you think we should get married in California this weekend? And I'm like, fucking no. Because of many things. But, like, I want a real proposal. I put a ring on it. And I want to have a ceremony and the whole thing. But we really are going to talk to our accountant. Mm-hmm. To determine whether or not.
But Arizona recognize things?
Well,
that's what I didn't understand.
Only work for you only work for nonprofits, so what the fuck is going to matter to you?
No, I do. And actually, that's what we want to check because honest to God, I make such little, really, truly, I make such little amount of money that with all of the medical bills, with Palmer, with trying to get pregnant again, it ends up a big win for me.
Yeah.
We're trying to, I make such little money, but I have these really high medical bills. So.
Right.
We're just trying to figure it out. But it was interesting. As soon as that came out, Kelly was the one that was like, but it was not like a baby.
Right.
And she goes, should we get, like I was like I in the back room, like cutting out crafts for Palmer's birthday. She's like, should we get married? She's wearing boxer shorts and like a tank top. I'm like, oh my God.
There is not a band.
Isn't it romantic?
There is not a bandwagon I have less interest to jump on than that because I watch it's driving me crazy. Not only do I get annoyed by, every 3 weeks somebody's in a new relationship, it's the love of their life.
And
oh my God, drives me insane. Yeah. In and out of, drives me nuts. So then when you find somebody, somebody was quoted as saying it, I forget exactly how they said it, but it's like, it's like when you give a kid who hasn't had any candy forever, you give them a bowl of candy and they eat every fucking bit of it and they get sick. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. So now all these people want to just jump off a cliff, if you pardon the pun, and just let's all go get married. But like you were saying, nobody realizes the real ramifications of any of this shit.
Sure.
If you're really not there,
Don't do it.
I am so with you.
You look at and going with just discussing the idea of gay people, I get it. And I'm with you 100%. But look at Britney Spears. Look at, you know, the 55
hours. Yeah, but those are really hyper-sensationalized, like, very famous cases. I'm totally with Clayton. I feel like
you don't
I think there are a lot more people in Vegas
that have done that.
Yes, but I don't know.
I think they try a little bit harder.
No. I am totally with Clayton because I see so many of my friends that are like, I know so many women who have been engaged to like 80,000 different fucking girls and they just never get to the aisle part before the engagement ends. I have a good friend.
And they have to return the U-Haul truck.
Honest to God. Yeah. But, and then, so, oh my God.
And it's sort of, for 24 hours.
So then they break off the engagement and they go through a really the hardest week of their lives until they're so head over heels, madly in love. This is the one.
Until Friday.
Again, literally after a week. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
That drives me
Serial
insane.
Monogamy.
Spend and that's what I'm some thinking. Time alone. But I feel like it happens more with gay relationships than straight relationships. And I'm not totally sure why. I have a friend in Boston. I love her so much. She has been, since it's been legal in Massachusetts for a long time, this girl has been literally married four fucking times.
She's engaged for the fifth time.
She's been legally married and legally divorced.
You don't even get a card anymore.
No.
Like, I'm not even going to text you.
No. Don't you just stop it? Just how about you just date?
It drives me nuts.
It's not married. Right. I mean, just date. Because that's really all that's happening.
You get married.
You're dating a lawyer. Right. He's a divorce lawyer.
Right.
Thank you.
But I mean,
your
truly,
non-sexual
like, why,
life partner is a divorce lawyer.
Why does it have to be marriage?
I don't understand. That's what I don't get.
Yeah, it's like a very weird thing. Be in a relationship for a year.
Just like enjoy each other.
And if you want to discuss it at that point, okay.
To sound like my grandfather, what happened with going steady?
Yeah, but Kelly and I are on 7 years, I think going on eight. We can totally do the math.
Wow, it's been that long.
It's been seven, 8 years. Wow. And we are still like, and I still hear the word marriage, and I'm like, I mean, we are trying for a second child together, for God's sakes. Like, we're not going anywhere. But I don't need, I'm very, very happy in our relationship, in our life. And the only reason we would do it is because of the tax, if it makes sense.
If it's financially beneficial.
If it's, but other than
and
that.
Now what, because I am certainly not a divorce or marriage attorney of any attorney
at
all.
Oh, I got wasabi in my eye.
Oh.
What?
Alert.
Oh.
Eye wash.
Yes. You need some water.
What, how does this affect Palmer? By the way, Al, that's her daughter, in case you were wondering. I know you forget.
She just turned two.
Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. Kelly's work, I think it might be easier for us to get benefits for Palmer, but we have fine benefits through, I have an individual plan that's not very expensive, but I don't know that it affects her at all. Even if Kelly and I were to get married, the state of Arizona still doesn't recognize same-sex adoption.
At least she'd have a mom and a mom.
I know, right?
I mean, because isn't that really what it's all about?
They still look at it,
and I'm certainly not trying to degrade anything to do with your relationship or your family, but technically, isn't Palmer only looked at in the eyes of the world as yours?
Oh yes, yeah. Oh, very much so. And
because you shot her out of the cannon, so you win, right?
Yeah, and I do.
I think that you could fight it, but I mean, like, if you were to give up your rights and
Kelly would adopt
and blah blah blah, that could happen. But she still and her parents. Katie June's parents can come
maternal.
Out of nowhere and God.
We've filled out paperwork. We went with an attorney who does a lot of same-sex children stuff. And so she does, you know, if a gay male couple adopts a baby, only one of them is legally, or even a lesbian couple adopts a baby, only one of them adopts. Yep. When we worked with this attorney, and we have all kinds of paperwork on file that says that at the time of conception, our intent was to co-parent. Mm-hmm. But even still, the attorney said, it's not legal. And if we split up and it's heinous and I'm a crazy bee and I say I'm out and I'm taking the baby, Kelly has no legal recourse.
Yeah. Oh, we could but go it'll make a none. Fascinating lifetime television for women and gay men movie.
And wouldn't it?
And actually, it'll be on
Popcorn
Bravo.
It won't be on Lifetime.
It'll be on Bravo.
There was a case.
Remember, there was a case a few years ago where there was a lesbian couple that had a baby, and then they split up, and the birth mother decided that, and she got all religious. For whatever reason, and she decided that homosexuality was completely vile and disgusting, and we hate it so much. And she took the baby, and she left, and she told her former lesbian partner, you don't get anything to do with this child. Although the lesbian partner had been in the baby's life for 4 or 5 years.
I don't know that I've ever heard of that.
Yes. Yes. And she said, fuck you. You're going to hell. You're a lesbian. I'm not going to let you poison my child's mind. Sure. She like went way born again. And I don't remember the outcome. I'll have to look it up.
Whenever there's a story about kindness sweetness, there's a Bible.
Yeah.
And
it was all different translations running amok.
No, it was all religion. Yeah. It was all religion. Oh, this girl became crazy.
All I got to do is move to Florida. And
right. Oh, and sinkholes. That, you know, the interesting piece with that, is, because I don't think it doesn't have anything to do with paperwork. It doesn't, you know, there were... In my life, I had 4 children come into my life from this one partner. And I can tell you that to this day, I consider those my kids. And and not that they want me to, not anything else, because they were taken from me, if you will. I mean, because when it was done, you're not going to see them. You're not going to talk to them unless they choose. And I love those girls.
Right. Yeah, and how could you not?
Oh,
and they have reached to you.
And
you
know, one or two? A couple of times, the older ones.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the older ones, for a period of time, one of them, and for the other, we stay in touch, and I'm so thrilled with that. It's not even funny. It's just wonderful. But it's that idea, that the idea of ever being with someone again that has a kid.
Oh, real scary. Yeah,
it's no.
Scary.
I mean, for me, it's a no.
Oh, yeah.
It's a no. You're not going to take another kid from me.
No,
like, it's not going to happen. And how scary to be that.
Oh,
other
yeah, to
partner.
Be Carrie.
All of us have a very dear friend who was with someone that they raised a child together, and they broke up. But luckily, the kid was 21 when they broke up, and that child made their own decisions as to like communication lines and stuff like that. But that could have been devastating because they were together for 15.
Well, and the worst part is. The law doesn't.
I mean, they raised a kid.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
The worst part is, 7 or 8 years old to 20 before they broke up.
And the law, of course, you know, Al, if you and I had a child together, then.
Then I have a right no matter what.
No matter what. Even if I'm like, fuck that guy, I hate your dad, your dad's a dick.
But even if you're a sperm donor, wouldn't that be aside if it was a physical, actual creation?
A sperm donor.
Even if you didn't even know that you had donated and later found out, you then claim it.
And to really.
Coming to life.
To really drive the story down, the rapist that wants custody.
Oh, absolutely.
Wants visitation with his kids. Yep. That's all over the headlines.
Oh, yep. That makes me want to
just. I did a story
on
that.
Montana.
I remember.
Oh, God. Only in Montana. But that's going on, like, currently. Like,
right.
He's
and
in
what's
court.
It? You do we know where that stands right now?
No, it's still up in the air because no one can decide, but it's in a pro, I hate to say pro-life because that's just a big fucking lie.
Yeah.
It's an anti-abortion.
Anti-choice.
Anti-choice.
Not even anti-abortion, but anti-choice.
Anti-choice. Anti-knowledge.
well, and the idea of family first, and it's this douchebag in Iowa, but the family first idea is the craziest fucking thing, because that would be someone who would support that, because the rapist created a child
and it's an act of God.
Victim,
God
and
wanted
it's an
a
act
baby.
Of God.
God wanted a baby.
And so therefore, they're a family.
Again, whenever there's a story like this, there's a Bible.
A Bible.
God,
somewhere there's a Bible.
That would be grounds for someone like killing themselves and then killing, like a murder homicide, like a murder suicide.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
can
killing
you imagine?
My child and then killing myself. I mean, I can't say that I would do that, but I can't physically imagine having Palmer and having some weird, like if it was that case, having some bizarro rapist out there that would all of a sudden get
and
to take
just,
her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would do. I would leave. I think I would leave the country.
Yep. And then you think of all the states that think that's a great idea.
Oh, and it's select fucking cunty people that think that that's a really good idea.
Paul Ryan.
It's convenient.
Paul Ryan.
Convenient Christians.
Almost vice rapist in chief.
That's right.
It's been so long since I've got to say that. My favorite expression.
It really. I'm actually glad that you were able to work that back
out.
No,
I like that a lot. I waited so long.
Right, I'm sure we have more things we're going to talk about. I'm going to wrap this up.
It's like we
officially.
Haven't seen each other all week.
I know.
I know.
We'll do this because we've got to get to the drinking word. Otherwise, we're never going to get loaded. So I figured we'll do this last story and then we'll do the disclaimer. Al can get us and then I can go make a drink. But Al can go get a drink right now.
Well, I'm going to go with liquor and champagne.
Atta girl, she's got lots to do. Well, over in Britain, you know, they have it's a crazy world over there. A British woman who woke up from a 3-month coma was surprised to find out that she was pregnant.
Well, what?
I'm guessing that she was probably impregnated before. The seems like I've seen an SVU that was was just like that, where they were impregnating comatose people. Actually, I know for sure I did see that episode.
The rapiest show on
TV. A woman named Gemma Holmes is 26. She suffered a severe head injury when she crashed her scooter into a parked car.
To a penis.
When she woke up, she had no memory of the past 3 years. The video says, 4 months pregnant, she decided to keep the baby even though she had no memory of who the father was. I just thought if it was a little baby inside me, he had managed to survive the awful crash and that it was meant to be. The father has since been found, but he is not romantically involved with Holmes, apparently just a one-night stand.
Oh, boy.
Well, super duper.
Wah, wah, wah.
A scooter enthusiast. And now I have to share the biggest headline of all. Please go to AIDSWalkPhoenix.org.
You militant bitch.
Oh, yeah, please don't, because I've raised $25.
But no, again, we're in the same place.
Pick your favorite that you want to donate to. Yeah. But
mostly me.
Mostly Al Perkins.
Yeah.
At this point, you really should just keep me in first place. But if you go
I mean, let's be really... Okay, you guys, let's honestly do this, because I'm... Really, honestly, Marnie, myself, Clayton, we're not going to get first place.
No, I don't even care.
I don't want to be first place.
I just want to be a contender.
I'm probably going to end up donating $75 myself just so I can meet my goal.
And I'm going to put it in like
so
my mom's name.
We
or something.
Really yeah. should encourage our listeners and our friends and our supporters to support Al, because we want one of our team members.
Oh, I think Al will
be
win.
First place.
I think
Al,
get a trophy for
can he get a trophy then?
Oh, hell yeah.
Then we can put it over here with our trophy.
Look at this. Self, you yeah. people.
What's our other first place trophy?
Well, actually, that was before you. We got it. I don't remember why, but we got
that. Oh, it was one of those you participated.
What? Oh, that's what I gave you.
But yeah. So what was it for? When we first became
the
top?
It was a pity fuck trophy. We were talking about people that get awards
for no reason,
and they're in school, and they're like, "Oh, you tried."
Remember?
Gotcha.
And so then I brought you all first place trophies,
participation trophies.
Well, that's where this picture.
But they say first place.
That's where this picture of Al comes from on my thing. It's on his head.
Oh my god, that's literally amazing.
Yeah,
I managed to make it a hat.
And he
held that
pose for 7 minutes until I get the goddamn camera working.
Why can't we use that picture for your AIDS Walk team photo?
That's fantastic.
Actually, you should upload that. That's an old picture of Al.
That's good.
Oh, when he had hair.
When he used to cook.
Yeah. But I, honest to God, listeners, let's keep Al alive. Let's keep him in first place.
There's no.
Is that a word?
Was he on a scooter?
Stop it.
No.
Stop.
He's not pregnant. Don't let him sell that to you.
I don't know.
Keep the dream alive. We want one of our own to bring home the first place
trophy. After we just celebrated the 50-year anniversary of keeping other dreams alive.
No,
oh,
I have
God.
A dream.
Now, this is our dream. Collective dream.
Jesus.
Q Talk America.
There are
the show with Clayton McKee. Almost, collective dream.
I'm almost alive.
There was a very tense period this weekend where I was very close to number
flow.
One. I was a couple days late and I was worried because explaining a Korean baby to my family is going to be hard.
And you lost your scooter.
Especially when you just came out of a coma.
Yeah.
I crashed the Vespa.
So... out of nowhere, and I had gone to bed. I thought, that's it. I've gotten all that. That's as high as I'm going to get with donations. All the important people have donated, and it turns out not really. but then I woke up, and I was number one, but then I looked, and I was like, God damn it, there's some fucking dog. Max the Wonder Dog. Does this dog have Facebook? What the fuck? How is this dog ahead of me? But this goddamn dog has $1,185. So I put it on my Facebook, and everybody like donated money to get me above the dog.
I almost feel like I want to donate money to you.
So I am doing better than the dog, but only by like $40.
And he hates dogs.
That's actually true. So you got to beat that little fucker.
Yeah.
Now, how do you not know who Max is?
Yeah, who does Max belong to?
We know because Max won the dog competition
two years ago.
Yeah, last year I just slept in for the cure. I'm back again. So I don't want to bother people. I don't want to bother people every year, but the people at work, and I, when Barbara first approached me, and it's Barbara Seville's Wonderful 100, it's 100 of us each raising $100 is the goal, so we can raise $10,000. We're almost at 5,000 right now.
Yeah, she's
close. We're almost at half, and we only have like 44 walkers.
And we've got 6 weeks to still raise money.
And
I was planning on waiting.
Oh, until the last minute.
Yeah.
Well, that's new.
And so...
So well, exactly.
15 minutes to late to the walk.
So I put the link on the chat. Please give.
Please give.
The way you do this subliminally, it just wonderful. Kills me how you do it.
It's brilliant.
I listen to a Cher song today.
Because I do the personal thank yous on Facebook, and now everybody's into those. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Barbara's been doing the shit out of those. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a good cause, and it's a way to raise $10,000. Sure. So everybody at least has to raise $100,000 because that gets you your goal. But
you're kicking some ass, taking some names.
Barbara had come up to a friend of ours to shame him into just giving, and I was trashed. I'm like, leave that fucker alone. He's not going to do anything. I'll raise money. And she was like, what? I'm like, I used to raise money for my mom. I used to go door to door for UNICEF and every single thing. My mother would get stuff from the church, get stuff from the
hospital.
Remember
those little boxes?
And my mom would be like, Alfie, go door to door. They like you. And I would seriously knock on people's doors, eat their dinners, and they would give me money.
To leave.
Right. Get out.
Here comes
that fucking Perkins
Alfie
kid.
Yeah, here comes Alfie again. He wants money.
Next time you see Ruthie, tell her to keep that fucking kid home.
I'll keep the box of change by the door.
And
honey,
I would with UNICEF boxes. Tell my mom won't feed me. And she makes me collect money. So the link is on there, but it's...
Are we
it's,
doing disclaimer before champagne, or how is this working?
I think we should.
Well, I'll think of a word.
Okay. Stand by. Drinking word coming in seconds.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
It sounds like you were talking in a Pringles can. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that was.
That's actually true.
That is. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, go ahead.
Should we celebrate a new studio just by christening the word cunt?
I think we should.
I think so, too. Yes.
So is that our word?
I think so.
I like it a lot.
Because I think we got a couple cunty stories coming up.
Studio
I
like it a lot.
I've got a cunty mug.
We got a cunt mug.
We got the cunt mug.
Cheers to Studio C, which has a washer, dryer, two bedrooms, two baths.
Hold on. I got a cunt.
It's a good-ass studio. Service.
I've decided this could possibly be the cheapest champagne I can swallow. But I'll tell you after I swallow it.
I'm sure you've never said that before.
Yeah, right? What was his name?
I mean, it's cheap, but it's really not that bad.
Well, for free.
Now, this goes
did you buy this or did this we have this?
No, I bought it.
Okay.
$8.99. I will go a step above not bad and be like, okay.
It's not bad, right?
It seems a little sweet. I'm not used to it. It seems sweet to me.
Which is better for me.
Do you like it? Do you think it's sweet?
It's okay. I think it's a little sweet.
I was drinking better. I can't stand that dry stuff.
I feel like I was drinking better stuff
at your
Oscar party.
Then I won't turn the bottle around and
party.
Show her.
Well, you were drinking better stuff at the Oscar party.
Yeah, no, definitely better stuff
Yeah.
Well, because he doesn't fuck around for the Academy Awards.
Yeah, but I brought the really bad stuff.
This is drinkable.
Was it last year you passed out?
Yeah.
Oh, in three, yeah.
On the pillow.
I wasn't sure which year.
Cunt. Yes. Okay.
He just wanted to get the first cunt thrown out
there.
Oh, God damn.
I raised my, throw down my gauntlet to thee, according to Don.
Well, you threw down your pillow and barfed on it, is what you did. God.
Threw it away almost a day later.
I've never come in third place. I've never come in third place.
Wow.
I always win.
Oh, and I still to this day, I will bring this up again. Speaking of cunts, and I'll drink again on that one.
Okay. Are you Doug Wilkie, this motherfucker?
Doug, yes.
Yeah, Doug I remember Wilkie. You said that. I remember you saying that.
God, that was fucking
hysterical. He did not give me credit for picking Life of Pi for Best Director.
See? Look at that.
Bitter. Party
hysterical.
Of one.
Terrible. God, that's so funny. I love it. Love
I'm
it.
Not competitive.
No.
But.
No.
No.
But. Not
what about
in
the
least.
And yeah, right? The Oscars, et cetera. Okay.
No, I'm really. And honestly, I just wanted to be in the top 10 with the last time. So, and I know this is brief because there's two names on there that I know are going to take charge and beat me. And Max, the goddamn dog's owner, I think his name is Joseph Siegel, perhaps. He was like the top fundraiser with like thousands of dollars.
That seems very.
Oh,
his
wow.
name's familiar to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I like, seriously, what I came up with last time, I'm still not there yet, but I was number 10 with that number. And I was, like, nowhere near the rest of the people.
I think we got to figure out some sort of a billboard campaign around town for Al.
But yeah. I am weeks and weeks ahead, because last time I didn't start till September
10th. That's right, yep.
So
that's
almost at the total now that I was starting at September 10th. Like, but the people at work are afraid of me. They're all like,
I'm sure they are anyway.
Yeah. Cunt. Yeah. See, this is going to be easier than you think.
It's
so easy.
So where are we at? Are we on entertainment?
I don't think so. I thought there was we wrapped that up, so we... I'm going to try entertainment.
So now I have a question. Unless we want to wait until next week.
What?
There was a story I had that kind of mirrored
the song.
Do you want to do that or no?
I could, just briefly. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I don't have the song to play because I figured we'll get busted for it.
Really?
Oh, probably so, because they fuck. But I have been listening to other podcasts and I got to figure out how the fuck. They're playing everything. One of the shows played the entire catalog of Judy Garland the other day while they were on the show. And I'm like, how the hell are we not able to do that?
Okay. No, you can. You're just going to get caught.
Right, I want to know what umbrella.
Just wait your turn. They'll get sued.
No. I don't think that, because they're part of a huge network. So somebody's paying. So I'm trying to figure out how to get myself under that umbrella.
Or when we broadcast out of a bar, if we ever go to a bar, we get their ASCAP BMI license.
Oh, mate, what if we make this a bar?
You still got to pay the ASCAP BMI fee.
Damn it! Yeah. I wonder what that is. I wonder what that is a year. You've probably heard this story before. It's been going the rounds the past couple of weeks, but it's a great story, and it's on our Facebook. If you've not heard about this, you should. A gentleman, 96-year-old man named Fred Stobaugh from East Peoria, Illinois, entered a songwriting contest held by the town's Green Shoe Studios earlier this summer. Fred's entry was unique in that it was an online contest, and he chose to write out his lyrics and mail them in the old-fashioned way in a large manila envelope. Inside was a love story in the form of a simple song, a tribute to his recently deceased wife named Lorraine, who he had spent 75 years with when she passed away. In the video on YouTube, Green Shoe, through interviews with both Fred Stobaugh and Jacob Colgan of Green Shoe Studios, shares a great story of how the studio decided to turn Fred's written lyrics for a song called Oh Sweet Lorraine into a professionally played and produced piece of music. It's a wonderful song. You can buy it on YouTube. If you go on YouTube and find it, it's called Oh Sweet Lorraine. It's 99 cents. The money goes to this 96-year-old man who had no money. His first fear when they called him to tell him that they were going to create his song or make his song into a full-fledged recorded song, the first thing he asked was how much is it going to cost, because he had no money to do it. Fred's entry made the point of noting his age and that he had written a song for his wife, the woman he fell in love with, at an A&W root beer stand back in 1938.
A&W.
I love it.
He said he was not a musician and that he was not a very good singer. He also noted that Lorraine had passed away a month prior to his contest submission. He said after she passed away, he was just sitting in the front room one evening by himself, and the words just kept coming to him, and he just kept humming along, and he said the melody seemed to fit her. If you watch the video, about at the 6-minute mark in the YouTube video, Fred puts on headphones and you get to see his reaction to hearing the song for the first time. And it's clearly touching to him. Very, very emotional. But anyway, it's a great thing. Available on iTunes. It's called Oh Sweet Lorraine. It's 99 cents. I bought it the minute I watched the video.
I watched the video this week.
It's
touching.
It's very cute. Very touching. And the gentleman who, I mean, can you imagine 75 years and all of a sudden she's gone and he's completely lost.
Lost. Mm-hmm. And because of love, not because of dependence.
No, right, absolutely.
Right? Because that happens a lot. That happens a lot, right, where couples are so dependent.
Well, by the time you're, how old is this guy?
96.
Same thing. You know what I mean? Is it love? Terrible. Is it just,
in fact,
that's your best friend. That's your only companion for...
You bet.
One of the things that we thought... And
you're together that long, there's some kind of love.
One of the things that we thought in regards to my mom's parents, they always joked and they always said, you know, that grandpa was going to go first because... He just was. He was in worse health than grandma was. Though, even if grandma was dying, laying there, she'd still like to make you breakfast because she wouldn't bitch about anything.
Sure.
But we knew that if grandma goes first, who gets him? Because
the broken heart disease.
Right. But we knew that he would need, because he didn't know how to run the washer or the dryer or cook for himself. He really didn't know any of that. That's what Loretta always did for him. So we always knew, but it worked out exactly like they had planned. He went first and she survived, I think, 4 years more. than him.
And I'm okay with that when you're old people, but then you meet these people now that are like, I don't know how to cook or use a washing machine. Then your mother's a fucking failure.
Seriously?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but not just your family, mother.
Your parents.
Whatever, yeah.
Whoever you're...
I always say I can't cook. I don't care to. No,
right.
I care to. So this morning I got up and made a wonderful omelet and toast.
Nice.
I found out my toaster still works.
Yeah. See,
crazy.
I love that.
Marnie, go ahead.
If I lived here, you'd know that toaster worked.
It's a tie-in to your story.
Okay.
This couple that was...
A dead woman named Lorraine wrote a song.
Close. No. Close. Harold and Ruth.
Aww.
Harold and Ruth.
You just gotta root for people with those names.
I know, right? They met in elementary school. And then in World War One began, or excuse me, my bad, World War II. I was like, wait a minute. I said that.
Wow.
And they married not long after. And they died 11 hours apart on the same day.
I recall seeing that story. Yeah.
And I read this and sappy, whatever you want to, I mean, it just made me tear up because I thought, that's it. That's how I would envision and want something. Their final act of love was what their kids called it.
That sounds dirty.
I know, right? In some weird way. They were at a nursing home in Ohio. I know. Nicely done. You're such a cunt.
I wondered
how you were going to fit that in. I wondered.
I wasn't going to call Ruth one. They were not Ruth in the story here.
Yeah,
by the way.
Right.
Yeah, I knew.
They were
mom.
9 days short of their 66th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And I guess Dad was doing poorly, Harold, but he refused to die. But, like, he just kept hanging on so that he could
Nelson
be there
Mandela,
with Ruth.
For a translation.
In all sincerity.
But his wife's not ill.
And Winnie.
No, she left him.
And
that's not the touching love story you think
no,
it is.
No, not at all.
She left his ass.
Sorry, dear. Okay, perfect.
I like how you try to pull off shit around. This is really not.
Just relax.
Okay, got it.
Cunt. anyway,
well, you are a cunt.
His health had been deteriorating, and hers was fine. And then all of a sudden, she just very quickly started to deteriorate. And then he went, okay, now I can.
No, I forget which one. One went in the morning and one went in the evening.
Right.
I forget.
She went in the morning.
In the morning. Got
blah,
it.
Blah, blah, blah.
Was that right? Or is it the reverse?
My sister said he's trying to catch up to mom. 3 days later, he died at 7:30 in the morning.
Got it. So she died in the
and
evening.
And she died at like 6:58.
Right.
Now, in a not so touching story, my friend, a dear friend of mine, her parents in separate hospitals of separate diseases died on Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of the saddest things. Only child, not a lot of relatives.
Same day.
Same day.
Yeah,
Valentine's
that's what this
day.
Is.
Same,
this,
like,
this
year?
Couple, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
no.
The
same
day.
The same day. And both were relatively ill, but not ill enough for death, and died of two separate things. Mm-hmm. And she just couldn't bring it to tell her father that her mom had just died, and then he died.
And then he died.
And she
they
was
just,
calling
sometimes
me.
They just know.
They just know.
Yeah. Yeah, and she called me, and she's like, and the doctor was like, I have to tell you something, but I'm reading this note that says that your mom just died.
Sure.
And it was... So those are fun stories, unless you're the family member that just lost two parents.
Well, this family was looking at it like, what a blessing.
If you're going to do funerals, do them in bulk.
And
you
know,
very
and they
together.
Did.
Yeah.
We had
my dad's cousin, his aunt, or yeah, I guess aunt and uncle, and then their son. And the three of them all lived together kind of forever. And the aunt and uncle were together. The son just kind of never got married, which is, you know, and he lived with them. And they're really, really close. And one died on the 10th of this month. The next one died on the 10th of the next month, and then the son died on the 10th of the third month.
That's truly like broken heart syndrome.
Yeah.
It was all the same day. It was a month apart. It was totally
wacky. And couples
wacky.
That have been together forever, very often.
Sure.
One goes.
Same day. It was
and
really
the other
wild.
One starts to deteriorate and goes very quickly.
They just like couldn't live without each other.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting because you were going to do that story, and I had this the same day.
Yeah.
And
this was last week.
Sometimes you die together. Sometimes you make a little money writing a song.
Absolutely.
Could go either way.
Absolutely. But that kind of love. I just thought that was... pretty fantastic. They had met in elementary school and dated. Wear my pin, kind of. You know,
right.
Can't we just go steady?
I'm a little nauseous.
And I know, but that was, you know, stop being a cunt.
Oh.
Too late.
He was born.
That was way too late.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
way
a long
too
way
late.
Into the cunt ride.
Yeah.
But hands and feet inside the car.
35 years.
I just thought it was pretty fantastic because then they separated. He had moved to another county, you know, which back in the day was a huge deal. And
right.
And in World War II, somebody that he was stationed with, I believe it was.
Now I feel like you're telling me the story of War Horse.
No, Ruth's brother. That I have not seen. Ruth's brother-in-law overheard that Harold was from, like, the same place as Ruth and the sister. And he was like, well, you should write to her. And 2 years later, they got married. And 66 aww. Years later, they died the same day. Yeah. Dead. Still dead.
Oh. Now that's the way that's good.
Is that better?
So yeah. We're about ready to go into this movie segment. I need a drink, but I'm afraid to go into the kitchen because I feel like I can't. If I move, somebody's going to scream and
would
jump.
Would you like
and
me to
some...
make you a drink?
Let's
I
make him a drink.
Make it in that Winx glass right there. It's a double crown and diet tall. Well, let's see if we let's see.
I
how
can't sh- believe this. I can't believe we waited like over a year for you to bring out the
seriously
the malt sized glass.
Well, yeah. It's at home. It's a home beverage
now. Yeah,
different. Well, I didn't. You know, you didn't. Let's see how shitty this is going to sound. I will try to get through it, but let's see if we can't make magic with this. And you, please, let's go. Nothing. Got nothing. Okay. Well, go ahead, Al.
So while you look at something that says entertainment.
I don't know why it's so shitty.
We have a new front runner in the Oscar contender and someone up for best and someone that's a possibility for best actor. Harry Connick Jr. joins American Idol. World War Z becomes Brad Pitt's biggest movie, which is strange considering that it was thought to going to be his biggest bomb.
Biggest bomb, right.
Oscar race for best actress is already overcrowded. True Blood ends after next season. And The Butler wins 3 straight weekends, and it's the first movie of 2013 to do so.
Yeah, that's
out
I heard
nowhere,
that this morning
the,
on the
they
news.
Did the fine, they always do the final tallies. They had released the headline yesterday that the movie by One Direction won.
But nope.
And nope, it was not true. So when they retallied the numbers and everybody got the hard grosses, not just the estimates... The Butler had won, and so I think we can pretty much say Oprah can write her Oscar speech.
I don't know if I'm going to lunch and a movie with Mom on Saturday, my birthday, and I'm debating whether that is the movie we should go see.
I think so. Get an Oscar movie. I think you've got like a good 7 nominations coming from this movie. So I think this is a good way to get your Oscar chances up.
Now, 7 nominations just based on actor? Are we getting score? Are we getting cinematography?
I think you're
what are we getting?
Picture, director, screenplay, actor, supporting actress.
Wow.
If you're that far along, you get film editing. Scoring is hard. I've been doing a lot of
because I can't imagine what's in that scoring wise. Is it movies or is it music from the eras?
No. And that's the problem is they're using music from the era. So how they fit in an original score, I'm not sure. So I don't think there's a score sitting there.
Got it.
I just did the Tale to Snout cooking on A League of Their Own and watched the entire the entire DVD. And Penny Marshall had a really good piece on the fact that she wanted an original score for A League of Their Own, not music of the era.
Oh.
So except for Benny Goodman's Sing 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 and a song by Carole King and a song by Madonna, it was all originally scored and she insisted on it and the movie studio hated her for it. So, I mean, that's 20 years ago that movie scores were going the way of the dino and all. Oh. So, it's very hard. An original score is a tough thing. I think only Steven Spielberg still does
right,
them, and I just bitch about them.
Right.
And all I do is complain.
Because I don't even think, and there probably has been, but I mean, I go back to, like, to me, an original score is something like a Star Wars. Where, like,
no, exactly.
So
something iconic.
Sorry that the Spielberg,
Godfather.
I realize, but
yeah,
so.
No, that's not.
Oh, it's Lucas.
It's Lucas. Yeah. And that is. But the best one ever is Spielberg, because Spielberg has the worst and the best. That's why you can't decide if you love him or hate him, because you have Indiana Jones, which is one of the best movie scores. Dun, dun, dun. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You've got all that stuff going on. But then E.T., you feel like you're being clubbed like a baby seal for the whole fucking movie.
Right.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a phenomenal score.
Bum, 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 entertain you. Oh, we have to pay royalties. Can I have that? Oh, that's a German chalk. Oh, it's birthday.
Happy birthday. What'd you think it was?
I thought it was. I just. Well, you can't shut up. Don't. Oh.
It's a fire.
Oh, birthday.
Dear Clayton.
Not at all what I thought.
You're a cunt.
Okay.
How many candles are there?
Not enough. Not 44. I'll tell you that much right now. Oh, that's a good beverage. Thank you, Marnie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So make a wish.
I will.
We have another surprise that's coming a different week. Another birthday surprise. Not here this week.
I wonder if it's gonna. I have a thought.
Just make a good wish. All over your drinking, Al.
Okay.
Yay! Yes.
Fortunately, all the batteries are out of my fire alarm, so we're good. Yeah. Turn that fan back on.
So lucky there.
For now.
Yeah. Till I burn alive.
Oh, and I love it. German. No, I just thought it was a celebratory thing for studio. I had no idea that you're going to be birthday soon.
It's your birthday.
Saturday is my birthday. Yes, yes. Saturday is 44. And mom texted me yesterday and reminded me that I was born 44 years ago on Labor Day.
Oh,
so
yeah.
my birth date fell on Labor Day.
I always just have to laugh because I think your birthday is the 12th. So luckily something comes up
that's Pussy LaHoot's birthday,
that surprises
actually.
Me. Yeah, that's like, oh nope, his birthday's today. Stop. Stop waiting. Do it now.
Do it now. Anyway, go ahead. Back to your movie stuff.
So we have to get to this link, and I'm not sure how that happens. Perhaps with this, select all. Copy.
I'm going through what you're going through because I've recently acquired this iPad. I'm learning it. So, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I can't always do what I'm used to doing.
So the film festival start. Now, Telluride is not a – if I remember correctly, Telluride is not a competitive festival.
Okay.
But the Toronto Film Festival, which is starting this weekend, is. And so your Oscar winners, you usually get a little glimpse of the Oscars at Telluride, but Toronto is usually where everything goes – even things that have already opened, like Argo was the last one to come from the Toronto Film Festival.
I remember hearing that.
The very first one was American Beauty that came out of the Toronto Film Festival. And that's kind of what put the Toronto Film Festival on the map. So now the big thing, and it was under... No, okay, the other movie was the one that was a surprise. This one, everyone kind of knew it was coming. It's produced by Brad Pitt. It's called 12 Years a Slave. It's got Chiwetel Ejiofor, who you may remember from beautiful turns. He's got a couple of great movies, but my favorite one with him is... I'm going to get it wrong. Fuck.
Did you say 12 Years a Slave?
12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
So I'm going to put it in here because...
Okay, you girls love the fact that we have a kitchen now adjacent to the studio. Yeah. I feel that you really are enjoying that.
A lot?
Yeah. For those of you who haven't figured out the fact that the studio is now in my house, so that's what we have. Okay. Wow, there's ice cream. Oh, is it French vanilla?
Extra dark.
What is this?
Hot fudge.
Okay,
and dark
clearly Katie's off her diet because none of this falls under.
Right
she's on the Marty Ryer diet. I'm glad I showed you where the plates were.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like going through every cabinet. I'm like, knives. Yes.
Go ahead, Al.
No, I'm good.
What is that?
I just want ice cream. So, okay. So his big movie and the movie that I love him for, although he's done many other things, is Dirty Pretty Things, which is a Stephen Frears movie with Audrey Tautou. And if you have not seen Dirty Pretty Things, it's a must-see movie.
How old of a movie is that?
It is from 2002. Excellent,
movie. Older movie.
He's been on my radar for a long time. When you see him, you'll realize you've seen him in a bunch of stuff. But Dirty Pretty Things is one that I always recommend. So this movie, 12 Years a Slave, opened at Telluride. Standing ovations, people going nuts for it. Brad Pitt was not the one that got the most accolades, but he was okay with it because he's the producer. And
he's winning either way.
Right. So Chiwetel, I think I'm pronouncing that right, if I remember from his interviews, is a free man that gets sold into slavery. It's a movie by, it's a director named Steve McQueen. I think his name is Steve McQueen. Yeah, Steve McQueen, excellent director. And one of my favorites, Michael Fassbender. Fassbender is being mentioned for Best Supporting Actor. So what we have, if you remember, is Harrison Ford is my pick for Best Supporting Actor for 42. I think Oprah for The Butler. We have from Fruitvale Station. We have Octavia Spencer. So there's a lot of hope for movies from black filmmakers based with black actors, all being in serious Oscar contention. And after all these years of being like Lily White or like the VMAs, the big complaint this year was that it was all white people performing.
Well, except Bruno Mars.
Right, but then it was all like brown people winning. So this is a big movie, and it comes out in a couple weeks. It does play Toronto. Yes. And this movie's a big fucking deal. So when it opens, and I think the movie is being debated as to when it's going to open. If it's going to go with October, if they're going to go with the real Oscar push in December. I don't think they've decided on a release date yet.
Now, if you said it, I missed. And you're talking about a current movie, and I'm going back to the other movie too. 12 Years a Slave. Was that? That's not based on a true story, is it?
I can't remember if it is or not.
Because that sounds I mean, no part of being sold into slavery ever would be good, but I cannot imagine what circumstances would surround somebody being a free man that somehow finds himself enslaved.
Abducted by traitors, sold into slavery in the pre-Civil War era. So
there's a chance that there could be a string of serious, I mean, reality to this.
Yeah, yeah. And the previews when Barbara and I saw, we went to the movies last week, I can't remember what we saw. Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But this was one of the trailers that they showed, and we were both like, Oscar bait! And then a couple days later, the news from Telluride came out, and I was like, oh, yeah, everyone is serious about this movie. But, and it's not Michael Fassbender. I'm so sorry. The guy that I'm thinking of is the one from Star Wars, the one that was just Dr. I can't think of his name. British actor. He was just in Star Wars and played Star Trek and played Khan.
Got no idea.
But I can't get to the. I can't do the chat room at the same time.
The only.
So people
I know
always
is
give. And I'm sorry because people always give me answers to questions, but I'm busy going everywhere else and I can't find it. And I can't find your answers. But so that's that. Now, best actress is done. But there's also, and let me get back to the. I have to do a little moving.
little moving.
Barbara and I had the great pleasure of seeing Blue Jasmine this week.
Ooh.
And I have to tell you, stop what you're doing.
And just go.
And go. Do not waste time. Do not pay $200. Whatever those rules are. Just go to this movie.
And who's in that again?
Cate Blanchett, Alec Baldwin, Andrew Dice Clay in a nice turn. People are mentioning him for supporting actor, but I gotta say that's a little bit of a stretch.
It's a stretch.
I think Alec Baldwin has a better chance. Not that Andrew Dice Clay isn't phenomenal in it. I just think it's turning into way too tough a year for him to like sneak in, and I think Alec Baldwin has the better part. He already has an Oscar nomination, so I think this is a.
And what's it about a little bit? Because I've seen the ads, and I feel like I want to see it.
It's a Ramona Clef about oh Jesus Christ, the guy that swindled everybody's money.
Mm. Madoff?
Madoff, Bernie Madoff. It's a little bit about what would happen to Madoff's wife. And Sally Hawkins, supporting actress nominee for sure for her portrayal. And I didn't read any reviews because I like to go into my Woody Allen movies kind of blank. I don't like anything to go in. And there's a scene that happens towards the end of the movie and it just takes this tone. And I was like, this is just Streetcar. Like, we are just remaking Streetcar Named Desire. And then I went back and I thought, oh, I'm so brilliant for coming up with that. And then like every single review was like,
Streetcar
Woody
Named
Allen
Desire.
Decides to do a modern version of Streetcar Named Desire and sets it in San Francisco, so there's an actual streetcar somewhere nearby. But Cate Blanchett, the performance of a lifetime.
I didn't realize it because I've never seen it. I didn't realize that there wasn't a streetcar in the original streetcar.
No, there is, but she takes the Streetcar Named Desire to get to her sister's house. But I don't know if there's streetcar still in New Orleans, but in San Francisco, there is definitely a streetcar.
Rice-a-roni.
This is the movie to beat. Her performance is unbe-fucking-leavable. Yeah. And this is another one like Oprah, where someone has written a performance with like every color, every shade. Last year, it was the woman for The Deep Blue Sea. I can't think of her name, but she's fantastic. Let's see The Deep Blue Sea. That was the best performance of last year. This is it for this year. But now they're saying that with all these movies coming out, we're doing all the movie festivals, and that Best Actress, even though there's not a lot of roles for women, what they are is all outstanding, all Best Actress. And I was saying about last year, Buddy and I had the big disagreement about the little girl being nominated for Beast of the Wild.
Janae Wallace.
But I have to say that she was the only lead actress that was nominated. Everyone else was basically just a supporting character or part of an ensemble, including Jennifer, what's her name, that won, Jennifer Lawrence, but they owed her. She was owed from Winter's Bone. Like, everyone knew that we owe her an Oscar. Like, Winter's Bone is, like, one of the greatest performances. It wasn't her time, but we'll give it to her if she shows up and farts on screen now. But this year, all these people are leads, and the people that are being brought up for nominations are Sandra Bullock in Gravity. If you haven't seen the previews for that.
Freaking out.
Looks really good.
Really want to see
that. And so far, the reviews have all been stellar. They're actually going to festivals with it. It's George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in space. She's a new astronaut that gets detethered. Judi Dench is coming up in Cannes. Blue is the Warmest Color. While they were doing the whole protest of gay marriage in France, at the Palme d'Or was won by a movie about a lesbian couple. It's called Blue is the Warmest Couple. They're saying if they can get that over here and get it like the artist kind of prestige, if they open it right, that has a chance. Bernice Bejo from The Artist in the past. Marianne Cotillard has another one, and she was nominated last year for the movie where she got ate by a sea whale. What do they call it? Killer whale? I didn't really care for that movie, but I had to give it to her. Shailene Woodley is being touted around for The Spectacular now, and again, she's not the lead, so that always kind of bothers me. Mia Wasikowska is in a movie called Tracks, and everybody is raving about this movie. I just saw Stoker, and I watched it because Wentworth Miller just came out, and he produced it and wrote it, so I wanted to see what he was doing in his new career, and
he's so yummy. Oh.
It sucked. He may be yummy, but he's not in that movie, and it sucked. But then we're missing big names like Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep in August, Osage County, Reese Witherspoon in Labor Day, Kate Winslet's got a big movie. So Toronto Film Festival is going to answer some questions, and then we're going to see how everybody's coming. And then the big movie, and even Barbara said the trailer gave her chills, is Emma Thompson and Tom Hanks in Saving Mr. Banks, and it's the story of writing Mary Poppins, of how Disney got the rights to Mary Poppins from the woman who wrote the book.
I don't know this story.
And how she manipulated, and they worked together to collaborate, and it looks really good.
Hmm.
So that's very exciting news about the Oscars. And now Tyler just sent me out a movie of all these movies that are coming out that have Oscar contender written on them. It's things to keep in mind. Spike Lee is remaking Old Boy. I'm going to say no to that one just on principle. I like Spike Lee, and I liked Old Boy, but except for the Departed with Leonardo DiCaprio and Mark Wahlberg, that remaking foreign movies and making new ones doesn't really work, with The Departed as the huge exception to where they made a great movie. Mm-hmm. Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn is getting some good press, where he's a sperm donor to like 300 and some children and tries to make a relationship with all of them.
I saw a preview of that.
The Wizard of Oz is coming out on 3D IMAX, reimagined again. They just keep cleaning up that print and selling it. All they keep doing is trying to make better, cleaner versions of a movie that everyone's seen 100 times, but they want new generations to see what a beautiful movie
they
made.
So now the beautiful redo that I saw at your house on Blu-ray, now they've redone it and it's 3D?
Yeah, which is useless.
Well, I was going to say, if it's not shot in 3D.
But just put it, and it's not in IMAX because it's filmed before CinemaScope, so it's not even widescreen. Right. So there's really no point. There's a new version of Romeo and Juliet coming out, and I saw the preview for it. It looks good, but my computer will not load the info, I'm sorry to say. Mandela Long Walk to Freedom looks really good. And I don't know, the previews were during The Butler, and it looks phenomenal. But, we've already had a Mandela movie that already got Oscar nominations with Oscar winner Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. Dallas Buyers Club, which is the reason that Matthew McConaughey, buy one Matthew McConaughey, get one free. He's in every fucking movie.
Yes.
Dallas Buyers Club finally has a release date. He lost all that weight, did that movie without a distributor. It's coming out. Looks really good. Then a bunch of shit that nobody cares about.
That I'll probably like.
And I hate to say, and here's this guy again. What is his name?
I am sure.
He played Khan. And anyways, look for him. He's going to get nominated for an Oscar this year. And I cannot think of his name. And I can't get to the chat room because I'm sure Tyler has already said. Runner, Runner with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake looks really good. It's kind of like Wall Street for with cocaine and everything. But it's online poker and it's getting really good reviews.
I was looking to see if I could find it, but real quick.
Don John. Now, as everybody knows, my favorite actor in the universe, besides Glenn Close, but in the male category, is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. His directorial debut and his big starring thing is Don John, and they're going everywhere with it as a sex addict, porn addict that falls in love with Scarlett Johansson. Phenomenal reviews. It's doing the festivals, and then it's going to open. And everyone's saying this is his year to finally get a nomination somewhere, whether because he wrote it, directed it, stars in it, and it looks really good. I'm trying to think. There's one more. Captain Phillips. Tom Hanks has two big movies coming out. He has Captain Phillips about the ship that was overrun, hijacked by pirates in Somalia. Looks really good.
Captain
Phillips.
Phillips.
And then he has Saving Mr. Banks, where he plays, he plays Walt Disney, trying to convince the author of Mary Poppins to let him do the book. Both look good. The Wolf of Wall Street. Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio team up again for like a story about greed. Leonardo DiCaprio, they owe him an Oscar. There's no way of getting around it. Like,
you think he's going to get it?
I don't know. But
no.
They owe him one, so he gets
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, that is him.
Oh my God, that's his name?
Good, yes. Joe.
Wow.
Go, Joe. Yeah, Joe pulled that. Yeah. I saw that, but I did see it online, but I'm like, that can't be his name.
No,
and
it is.
Joe posted it.
And it's just so funny. And he is so good. He's been good in everything. And I want to say he's Doctor Who, but I can't remember where he comes from. But the nerds out there will know. So, Joe.
And which was the one with Sandra Bullock? Because we were...
Gravity. George Clooney and Sandra Bullock.
I want to see that.
And it's not only getting buzz for being like something that's going to make money, but Oscar buzz for her again.
She's amazing.
Yeah,
like,
she is.
Just as far as funny and just somebody that I would love to go to lunch with.
Uh-huh.
I think she'd be funny at lunch with. Yeah, I agree.
Like, just that she would just be down to earth and fun and, yeah.
She'd go to Luby's with you and just go through the buffet line. You know she would.
Totally would. Why you got to say that to me? No.
I just mean she's a regular girl, I think. I don't think she's a pretentious girl.
She likes a buffet. You're a cunt.
End of hour two, going into what we call hour three. You might call it monotony. But anyway, we are.
And Jeffrey S. has been offering to bring us snacks.
I know. I talked to him the other day. I'll talk to him about that in a minute.
Chicken.
Anywho, we are coming into hour three.
Jeffrey.
Show on Hume Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
And good evening. Once again, it's the beginning of hour three on our adventure into the evening. We call it The Show. It's on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and our friend Al Perkins, who's constantly sitting in with us, regardless of what we ask him to do.
He keeps finding the address. God damn it.
I moved the studio twice, and he keeps finding it.
I have Thunder Chicken written down here.
We are broadcasting
I love it.
From now and hopefully for forever from our new studios, Studio C, as we call it. And if you don't know what C stands for by now, well,
cunt.
It's also our... Well, now you know. It's also our drinking word on this first Tuesday in September.
I guess the only thing I like with coconut in it in the whole
it's
wide
delicious.
World.
A German chocolate
well
cake.
Done.
Besides pina coladas.
Oh, and Singing in the Rain?
Which is what I kind of have right now.
Making Love in the Rain, yeah. I'm sorry. Whatever the lyrics were.
Ooh, if the there's a chance of mud while making Love in the Rain, so I'm going to say no thank you to your very kind request.
Strike that, reverse that. Anyway.
Not request.
So there were no fucking spoons in that kitchen?
We do,
yeah, look,
yes.
I have a spoon for you right
okay,
there.
Thanks.
I'm not a completely...
Cunt.
God. Jeez.
Well, I know that's what your look says.
So,
yeah, that's what my look was.
Coming
fuck
up
you.
In this hour, we do have a few more things from Al in regards to entertainment. Katie's going to chime in with a few stories and some things that she did this week. Plus, Thoughtful Vulgarity comes up later on in this hour. That's where we get a little drunk and we ask questions and we try to act like we really know what we're talking about. Which is really the first 2 hours of the show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. New hour.
So, Al, continue on with what you were talking about, sir.
So, Harry Connick Jr. joins American Idol. I
of love
course,
him.
Wait, what?
God, I love him. I did not know that.
So, if memory serves, it's now Keith Urban... Jennifer Lopez
J-Lo.
Is back.
She's for sure back.
Yeah, she
yeah,
is.
And Harry Connick Jr. joins.
Mariah's not there?
No.
No.
Okay. She's busy.
She's
well,
too good.
Because of J-Lo and Mariah, like, Nicki Minaj and
only
Mariah.
Only one Paula Abdul per season.
You, right. No,
you
but
finish your thing. But I don't know if anybody else heard today what was on the radio in regards to this. I was listening to this morning. Somebody was a local person who does entertainment, and she said that Fox did intense research on what will draw a younger crowd, and they made sure to do a 180 degree opposite of what that was, and they got Harry,
exactly.
Harry Connick Jr.
They went to the very, very end of the 18 to 49 scale.
Yeah.
Because Harry Connick Jr. was a young prodigy 24 years ago.
Right. Yeah,
when Harry Met
still,
Sally came
I still
out.
Love it. I mean, oh, I still no. love it.
He, I'd still fuck him. I mean,
well, I didn't say. Well, go ahead.
No, I will. I mean, I'll let him fuck
well,
me.
As long as he sings to you.
And I have to say, one of the most disappointing moments in all of my trips to New York was I had a hotel room looking down at the theater where he was playing in Pajama Game, which is one of my favorite musicals. And I went down there. I'm like, standing room, cancellation. My room is right there. You can wave to me if a ticket comes up. I'll sit in the bathroom. I just want to hear it. And the woman goes, this is really sold out. I'm like, okay, you could just say sold out. She's like, I know, but if I say sold out, that means that somebody's getting in. She's like, this show is sealed tight and done. And I was so disappointed.
That's a bummer.
But now the other thing is Brad Pitt, who for the first 5 months of the year, 6 months of the year, everyone talked about how World War Z was going to end his movie career, bankrupt him, the kids were going to be living in a shack.
World War Z was the fucking bomb.
Everything was going to go wrong. And now domestically, not just internationally, because internationally movies do a little bit differently because people that are stars, like that fucking Will Smith.
Jaden Smith, and Earth Atlas, or something weird.
Right. But World War Z is now officially his biggest movie domestically. So it's his biggest hit. When adjusted for inflation, no. But in real dollars, yes.
Yeah. Well, no, because it was fucking awesome.
When you adjust to ticket prices, the number one R-rated movie of all time has never changed. It's still The Exorcist. The movie that the R-rated movie that has been seen by the most people in the theaters remains The Exorcist, and nobody's even close.
Okay. Wow. That's a good fun fact.
Yeah, and one of the greatest movies ever made. So
yeah,
there you go.
So good.
So good. True Blood. Now, a couple months ago, we had a very surprise announcement at the beginning of the summer that True Blood was extended for 2 seasons. And everybody was kind of like, True Blood, really? Like, well, watch it till it ends. But you're kind of wearing on our nerves. Mm-hmm. They had a really good season. And it ended. And I thought, okay, I can live with 2 more seasons. We're on the right page. And then HBO announces, nope, next season's the last one. See you later. We're done. So I'm thinking that everyone else had the same thought. And maybe their ratings starting this weren't that great.
Mm-hmm. Weren't as great as they hoped.
Right. And HBO is still lagging behind Showtime a little bit in quality, so I'm thinking...
Because what does HBO have that Showtime... Like, what's HBO versus Showtime as far as the big shows?
Well, their prestige is The Sopranos, Sex and the City, The Larry Sanders Show. They had Oz. They had Trem. They had Boardwalk Empire. Like, HBO has been the place to go behind the candelabra.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Angels in America. They are everything you want. Seriously, not having HBO is almost a crime. Like, there is really
no
reason.
I have it. Perfect.
Yeah. You need to have it. They have been doing the best TV entertainment for the last 30
years. I have to charge my mother more rent.
Yes, you do. It's time. Can't even argue with that. Showtime has been building because of Homeland, Dexter.
Oh, yeah. See, I like those shows now.
They had the L word. They had Queer as Folk. They started with a niche audience, and now they've really improved.
Oh.
So now HBO has competition. HBO has Girls now, which, kind of jumped the shark.
Season 1, great. Season 2, who cares about you?
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
We talked about that one. So then I'm just going to go with a little headline that I saw, and I'm done. It wasn't a headline that I saw. It was a headline that I heard. Because in my bathroom, I play that god-awful local news channel that I want them all shot.
What channel 3?
92.3.
No. Oh, KTAR. I love it.
I listen to them all the time.
I love it so much.
I want them mowed down by machine guns.
I think they're great.
The cuntiest cunts in the world.
There's a couple that I don't care for, but overall.
I listen to it from like 6 to 7 at night, like drive time.
Oh, no. Oh, the Mac and Gatos at the end.
I'm a Mac and Gatos fan.
They manage to offend me every night before work, they say something that truly offends me.
Yeah, I like Gatos.
And this week it was it's medical marijuana, and I really, 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 really cannot stress to people enough that everybody's opinion on medical marijuana needs to change today. It's not a class 1 drug, like it's been qualified. There are no overdoses from marijuana. There is nothing wrong, but there's a child in Mesa that suffers from very severe seizures. And they have tried. And if you want to talk about, if you wanted to go hand to hand on seizure medications on side effects, the side effects of pot are a little bit of paranoia and a Domino's delivery man at your door. The side effects for seizure medications are lose your teeth, lose your kidneys, use your liver, brain damage. Yep. There are so many side effects.
Get involved with the podcast on Tuesdays because that's what you've done.
So here is these people, and they're introducing a news story, and they're like, and what did the parents do? They gave a 5-year-old pot. And they're like, well, he's not like he's smoking a bong. Shut the fuck up.
Correct.
Stop with the tone. Stop delivering it like that. Stop making it sound like there's not a doctor in charge of this case that's weighing out the appropriate dose for a child. He's getting it as an oil. And if it's stopping a seizure disorder where the kid has seizures for 12 fucking hours, shut the fuck up and endorse it. Don't give me some smarmy fucking attitude, you cunts, making it sound like these parents got their kid stoned. Yeah. That is a bunch of bullshit, and you're just spreading bullshit over the air. This kid has been having seizures for 5 solid years.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Recognize a medical thing and read a goddamn book. Oh, it's not like they're giving him a bong. I almost broke my radio. I almost took the stereo off my counter and broke it. I was like,
okay,
I want to drive there and mow you people down. They found a cure for this kid.
Or a help, either
all
way.
All the people out there that take antibiotics that they got from Mexico because someone told them they had a cold. Cold's a fucking virus, you retard. I have the flu. I took an antibiotic. It's a virus. You need an antiviral. You're abusing codeine. You're abusing OxyContin. Uh-huh. People are abusing every single drug on the market, and all of them can either kill you or cause some problem. Yeah. Medical marijuana, if it's an oil form, has no fucking side effects, and this kid has stopped having seizures. Don't make it some comedy story that you heard about a kid in Mesa getting stoned.
Okay.
Tell the God's honest truth and report that like news, or don't call yourself a news show. Mm-hmm. I hate those fuckers.
Boom.
But I keep it on because so nobody robs my house.
Let me tell you why.
Because I want criminals to think.
No one to come in.
I agree with you.
Gatos.
I like. Okay, listen. So
that
here's the scoop.
Infuriated.
I feel like I really have a vested interest in this story because I. Well, first of all, I listen to Mac and Gatos and I do like them. I do agree that anytime you listen to KTAR, it's conservative news and infotainment, and you have to be educated, knowledgeable, have an open mind, or else you're just a fucking idiot and you shouldn't be listening or then you're just a Fox listener who also happens to listen to that on the radio.
But I am surprised how much they do talk about gay issues about it, and they're very
say the shittiest things about it.
Well, some
not
do
not all the time
overall,
I listen from 6 to 7. And they talk, they're anti-gay marriage, they are anti-anything enlightened.
You are getting 1 hour of a 24-hour cycle. So, though you are not, you're not getting the full picture, Al. Telling you, the morning guy with,
Bruce St. James, who I really like.
Totally different. He could give a shit about what you do.
Yeah. But I
do
agree.
Give a shit what I do.
And I enjoy Mac and Gatos, but I agree that I listen to them. And I listen to them and disagree with a lot of the things that they say, a lot of the ways that they present it, but you have to either be educated or have an open... I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, people can't listen to them and take their word as the gospel. Other than that, they're entertaining and I like them.
Yeah.
And they give some fun little facts here and there, but I agree that a lot of the stuff that they say...
It's over-dramatic.
Over-dramatized
I think in the case of what you're talking about, I think that's what you were hearing was... Them just being, not them saying it's right. I'm not defending them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they, because I listen so much to them. Like, my God, when the 19 fire
I listen
hot
to them
shots,
all the time.
When the hot shots up in Yarnell, you know, they got killed. Yeah. Oh, my God. How many times are we going to dissect this?
We couldn't.
19 people died. We get it. There's something else to talk about.
Right.
And they dissected it backwards, forwards, and went through
for weeks. They're still talking about it.
Today, because of what's going on with Syria, I turned on the radio and I put my headphones on first because I'm like, I can't listen to you fuckers. So now before I turn the radio on, before I leave the house, I put my headphones on so I can't hear their voices.
But I do want to chime in really quickly.
It was like Fox and Friends stupid.
Yeah. I do want to chime in about the piece about the child being given marijuana. And I don't know if I said this recently or if I was talking to someone else, but it's actually really interesting that this child that they're talking about is in Mesa because I have friends that live in Arcadia that are actually not doing the same thing. They're moving to California so that they can do the same thing.
Right.
Their daughter is 4, maybe. I don't even think she's 5. I think 4, maybe 5. She has a form of epilepsy called ES.
Right, we talked about that outside a couple weeks ago.
Right,
that's
okay, epilepsy.
Was, yeah.
And she doesn't sleep at night. And she gets almost no hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
She's having epileptic activity in her brain all night long. Yeah. That's not causing major seizures, but it's causing her to not enter REM sleep.
Right.
And
so eventually you're going to be crazy. And how long can you go without sleep?
It's not a crazy thing. What's really sad when you're little is it's not crazy. It's brain dead, essentially. Right. And when she's awake during the day, she's staring at a wall because she has no brain function. She doesn't, her brain's not resting. So they're moving to California because there are opportunities in California for them to start administering medical marijuana to her through the hemp oil and or the cannabis oil rather. And I saw a really interesting Ricky Lake about this exact thing where another family was giving their child hemp. Cannabis oil. And it was a big debate as they're getting their kid high. And they're like, no. We are saving our child's life.
Right. Because you give your kid pain medicine, and it's dosed by a doctor. They dose it by weight. They dose it by age. They take in liver function and how you process the drug and how you get it out.
Right.
If you're willing to give your kid codeine, morphine.
Then why wouldn't you be willing to give them something that's natural?
Naturally occurring.
A couple years ago, a friend of mine's grandmother had bladder stomach cancer, very curable. That hers was.
I thought that was super painful and not, but her version was super painful,
but treatable and curable, and couldn't eat.
Okay.
Problems with eating, problems with pain, problems with the constant pain medicine they were giving her. Yep. I'm like, get your grandma stoned.
Yeah.
Like, straight up stoned. We're not going to dress this fucker
up.
Yeah,
let's not talk about oils.
Yeah,
I'm talking about, get grandma a bong
and get her stoned so she'll be hungry, she'll be in less pain, she might get some rest. Oh my God, it was like I suggested they massacre a chicken and like worship voodoo. I'm like, it's fucking pot. Grandma's been drinking since she was 11 years old. Yeah. She's been killing her liver systematically since she was 11 with a drug that we know causes serious harm. And the addiction rate is huge. Pot, I think the addiction rate is like 9%. Honestly, from the research I did. Because after these fuckers were on the radio, I had to research it. And the addiction percent is like 9%.
And I think they're all lying anyway.
Yeah, I do too. Got her stoned. She ate. I mean, she was going to get better anyways. But she didn't go down to a 78-pound woman who was like on the verge of death and with uncontrollable pain. She ate. She was able to get food down. She wasn't on 14 different drugs. It was kind of like an adjunct drug where it just makes something a little bit better. Mm. It made the little bit of pain medicine work a little bit better. Yeah.
The little kid that they did on Ricky Lake that was on, she was a little girl. Yeah, she had cancer and she was undergoing a bajillion types of chemo.
It all caused nausea.
And she was sick and she was miserable and she wanted to die as like a 7-year-old is going, please just, I want to end it. And her parents are like, wait a minute. And they found this option to do the cannabis oil and she like turned into a whole new girl. She was
a new fantastic.
They would give her, take a little pill, inject the oil into the little swallowable capsule.
Sure.
And
your edibles.
Yes. And so she would take that every day and twice a day. And she was eating, she was gaining weight, she was enjoying her life again.
But yeah,
and if I may, that's the thing.
Going through a horrible chemotherapy.
Laura, who came in, we're not gonna put this in conjunction with her reason for coming in at the time, but she is the second. She thought she was the first, but first in Maricopa County, baker for edible goods.
Oh yeah,
and the need for that where it's not about grabbing, you know, a roach and lighting it up and, you know, whatever. If that's what you're doing and it's giving you relief, great.
Yeah.
But hers is about candies or cookies or popcorn kind of thing.
There are alternative ways of being able to
get it. Sanjay Gupta's been all over it. And I didn't realize that Sanjay Gupta was Obama's first choice for Surgeon General.
I remember hearing that. I'd forgotten about it. He's also very adamantly against it. He's all about,
I was completely misled. It's all been lies. I am so sorry. I don't understand why this is a class one drug. And I've been watching his thing, and I'm like, yes, now get the word out to people that this is an alternative medicine where we can go a little third worldy. We can enjoy first world medicine, but we can get you a little adjunct therapy.
It's hard because most people think about weed. They think about, dumbass, the movies and like stoners wearing baggy clothes and tie-dye.
But all of them,
they don't end in overdoses.
Never.
They don't end in MRSA, which is methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus. Like they don't end. Every time someone tells me they're against medical marijuana, it's always someone that I've heard tell me they took an antibiotic for a flu. I'm like, you're making really, really, really stupid medical decisions here, and then going to judge someone
else
for medical marijuana.
But here's a flip side. Here's kind of a flip side, and I have to say this from personal experience.
Everything gets abused.
I mean, you may totally disagree, but I do think that marijuana can definitely be a gateway drug. It was for me.
Yes.
I smoked marijuana, and then it was really, really easy for me to try cocaine. And then it was really easy for me because I was like, oh, I'm already smoking weed with the same people that are now like doing ecstasy and, you know, and doing
this. Alcohol, same argument. If you're already drunk and making bad choices, absolutely. Right. If you're in a bar drunk, either you're gonna open that gate or you're not gonna open the gate.
Well, they talk about that with folks that are in NA, for instance.
The girl from the Go-Go's, Jane Weidland, the drummer. Whichever one that was the addict that was like, I smoke pot, so I did heroin. I'm like, shut the fuck up. No, I've never seen heroin.
With mom being in the program
for Linda Carlisle
for almost 20 years,
yeah. She did every other drug.
The whole idea is that there are people that will come in there and they'll be alcoholics and they'll say, so I smoke weed, not for medical purposes.
Right.
But I smoke weed and I'm okay. Like, it's okay if I do that. It still hinders some ability to think the right way, perhaps, or not be vulnerable to do other things if you already have that penchant to do it. Is really
oh yeah, my brother does the same thing. He can't. He knows. Like he was like, oh, I can't drink. I'm just or no, I can't do heroin. That's a problem. But I can drink.
Right.
And I can do weed. And then within literally 24 hours of him getting out of rehab, he was doing heroin again because he's like, I can drink and I can smoke some weed and then I can do some cocaine and then I can do some heroin.
Because that's just
and I get that that's different. I didn't have that. I drank, I smoked some weed. But then those same exact people that were smoking weed, not the same people that were drinking for in my life, the same people that were smoking weed were the same people that were like, want to try this cocaine? And I'm like, sure, that sounds fun.
See, and I
I did it a few times and it was fine and I was fine and I moved on and it was fine.
So you're not an addict. So you don't have the addict gene. Because I'm sitting here with two different alcoholic beverages. But I'm not an addict.
And let's go ahead and add some more chocolate. Yeah. No, but I mean, really, that's the addiction piece.
I guess you're an addiction or you're not, but I just think that it... it's from my experience. I saw like opening the door to marijuana as a recreational drug. It just opens the door to other recreational drugs.
Right.
And you could use my sister as a very different example. She smokes weed. She has never done anything else. She doesn't desire to. She thinks it's weird. She's like, what do you even know? Like, how do you even know that?
And you can find, I always say you can find the people in the room that are like, and me, I am dying to go to sleep. Like, my entire life is trying to find ways to sleep because I have insomnia. I've had insomnia since I was about 5 years old. I spent my whole life not able to sleep. I do not want to take cocaine.
Right.
The last thing I want to do is be awake or more alert longer.
Yeah, well, and neither do I now. I mean, it was like fun at once upon a time.
But do I want to search heroin out? No.
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, but I don't have that. But if you have that gene, then opening any door is going to lead
you. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. I take Advil.
Cough syrup's going to get you down that road. You know what I mean? This conversation lately, and I don't know why it's all of a sudden bubbling up. If there's something going on in Arizona.
Well, it's been going on for a long time, and at least politically, because we've been talking about it for years and years. But
hyper is the word I would use.
It's really interesting. Yeah. You know, my folks have always been pretty relatively conservative political Republicans. My mom is not Democrat. Go Jan June. But
Jan the man.
But Pete's still relatively conservative, and but they both voted to make medical marijuana legal for the exact reason that my dad's like, if I get cancer, I want to be able to take it into my own hands. I want control over how I handle
and a non-narcotic. I want something that's basically not addictive and doesn't.
Well, because if you think about the narcotic kind of stuff, it makes you feel awful. Oh. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, the idea of being a bigger girl that they say take two. I usually take half of one, and that's well enough.
Well,
and so everybody's different, but I still feel those weird effects where I'm like,
I don't like that either. I think it's really strange too. Is that you know, for Kelly, for example, they would prescribe her OxyContin for a bad back, which is. Yeah. Legal heroin, but they wouldn't prescribe marijuana.
Because in Arizona, it was considered a class one drug.
That's very weird to me. My brother became addicted to heroin because he was using OxyContin. A friend of his had a horrible accident and was prescribed Oxy. So they started using that.
Name one person that hasn't said, do you have any pain pills?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's totally normal, but it's not normal to like do marijuana.
Throw that out there.
But, not normal to do
you
marijuana.
You know someone who does.
Oh, I know someone
yeah,
who does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah, it's getting interesting.
I just was like, no, I haven't done it. You know, that's the one thing I haven't done.
You know, Jon Stewart returned to the Daily Show?
Oh, that's
yes,
exciting.
Yes, he did.
Anything. To,
next color.
Yeah.
So I just want to throw that out there because, I mean, that I can't even tell you the rage that I think I've expressed the rage.
I think you've done a good job.
Yes. Okay. I also, in entertainment, I saw a Jennifer Aniston movie, We're the Millers.
Saw it?
I'm back on board. After Al.
Without the Rachel haircut, you're back on board.
I literally saw it last Wednesday after Al said, just go see it. We did it. It's fucking hysterical. We were like laughing so hard. We were almost in tears. Awesome. It was really fun. Yeah, so go. Yay.
And has proven like to be, as with her as the only bankable star, it's now her biggest movie also. And
is it really? Yeah. It was really funny, really fun. I was laughing at things. I was surprised. I really liked it.
Good.
Anyway.
I'll have to do that.
So oh, go check
have,
it out.
They have bumped marijuana to schedule 2 class 2 drugs. So it's away from methadone and morphine and heroin.
Well, I think you're all cunts.
Yes, thank you.
Jeez.
All right, now, Katie, I'm sorry.
Yep,
Jazz. Is that not okay? You haven't drank much.
I have a very, 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 very short. I'll condense my sports.
And the sounders aren't terrible.
Yeah, I'm not going to even play the sounder. Fuck it. Because it sounds so horrible.
This week in sports. An entertainment tie-in, Miami Heat superstar produces his own sitcom. We already talked about endurance swimmer Diana Nayad. The Mercury had a big win over the Connecticut, except for it wasn't that big. Russ Pinnell, doing great. 10 important things done with the NFL, and the Suns suck again. Xboxer
and
Tommy
Tim
Morrison,
cut.
Rocky Force.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Tebow relies on prayer for an NFL career.
Thank you.
John,
so in an entertainment tie-in, Miami superstar, known to some as King James LeBron. That's embarrassing. LeBron James, longtime manager and business partner Maverick Carter. They've teamed up with Tom Werner of The Cosby Show and Roseanne. So some very successful shows. To create a show called Survivor's Remorse. It's the story of two guys who get out of Philly, inner city, and make it big with plenty of money and fame. Story is about their adjustment to new life and, you know, knowing people that have struggled back home. So it's basically LeBron James.
Aaron Hernandez story is what this is.
Right. Hashtag or LeBron James story. He is not in it, but this is kind of about his life. Some people are making a big joke about it. Some people are thinking it might be cool. We shall see. It's going to be on Stars Network.
The only pay cable I don't get.
Yeah, and maybe that's why. Because it's got shows like Survivor's Remorse. Survivor's Remorse to me sounds like a really, really horrible reality like game show.
Yeah, like they pick the people off the plane that crashed and
then talk about
them
it
for 3 hours.
Exactly. In other news, we talked about endurance swimmer Diana Nayad, but that was probably some of the biggest news this week. We're really excited about her. The Phoenix Mercury just had a big, in quotes, win over the Connecticut Suns, 76-68. It would actually be a big win if the Connecticut Sun were not in last place in the league.
We beat number 20. Beat number whatever. Yeah. I don't know what number that is.
We're not
last. We beat the worst. We beat
the worst. Yeah. Right. But it was good for the Merc, who had come off of a two-game losing streak. We're still number 3 in third place. I don't think that we're going to be climbing anywhere over number 3, but we're waiting to get our playoff spot, which we'll do surely with our next win or two. Candace Dupree was the high scorer of that game. And Russ Pennell, you'll remember I talked about Russ Pennell being brought in as the new coach, doing really well. He's got a 5-2 start. We're really, really excited. And the biggest story coming out of that is that he's pushing other players into winning. So Candace Dupree, for example, who's always been a good...
Yeah, I've never heard you talk about her.
She's
always
been a good player. She was a star, a big star coming out of college that we... And I think she had played in the WNBA before we got her, but she was always a big Big star. Anyway, she is the most versatile scorer in a Mercury uniform, and she happens to be playing her best basketball of the season and of her Mercury career after Russ Pennell came on. So anyhow, we're really excited that he's pulling out success from some of our star players who may not have been living up to their potential. Mm. He's seeming to do that. I was talking with some friends over the weekend, and really, there's a big difference between a coach who's your buddy and a coach who's your coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And their former coach.
And I think we've learned that with Diana Nyad.
Yes, right? thank you.
The chief trainer might be boinking.
Yeah, but it's like your former coach who was your, like my parents always told me, we're your parents, we're not your friends. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we're your parents, we're here to do this job.
Drinking
so
buddies.
It's very exciting. Yeah. So 10 important things to know about the NFL. I'll only go through a few of them. Everyone probably knows that the fantasy football league draft is going on right now.
Oh, Jesus. And everybody at work, that's all they talk about.
But can I just just to interject?
You can?
Well, I didn't set up my fantasy football, and it's the third year I'm playing it, and I suck.
Why? Because you don't go to your draft?
No, did you pick Aaron Hernandez?
No.
Do you do your draft?
You know what? I don't suck that badly. No, but I didn't. I don't. I don't pick it. It's third year. I was in last place, and then I was in last place, and now I'm trying again this year.
I'm
the Diana Nyad of fantasy.
It's going to be year five.
Correct. Yeah, because this year I'm not going. But I did. I won 0 games the first year. I won.
Two
games and tied last year, and this year I said, fuck off. I didn't do a thing with setting up a lineup or this or that. All of a sudden, I wake up Sunday morning and I look at it and I'm like, I have who? Adrian Peterson, who?
Oh.
Holla.
So how did you get him if you didn't even do the draft? Is it
because
just like...
it was like a
draw.
Yeah. So I was maybe like first or second.
Who do you play with? And like, do you play in a league with your friends? Or just
with friends. Right?
Okay, with friends. Yeah. Okay. You're not just like in a random league.
No. But how delightful. Really?
Good for you.
And no Packers. No stupid Packers.
Good.
And no Michael Vick.
God.
Yes, that was for you.
You should literally... We went over to some friends.
No dogs were harmed during the football game.
Some lesbian friends who bought a new house recently.
He would take care of that dog for me.
Right, he would.
We went over to their house, and their like a movie room is... You would probably faint, because it is Packers from head to toe. I mean, they've painted the walls in Packers stripes. Oh, there's Packers. There's big giant rug. There's like Packers memorabilia.
Are there any kids in
everywhere?
And I like how you're kind of saying
dogs.
Peckers.
Okay.
Am I saying Peckers? I definitely mean Packers.
Are fine.
Do they even go to the meatpacking district?
No, they don't. They don't even. They pack no meat in that house. It is a lesbian city. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Something's getting packed. I guarantee you that.
Anyway, digress. Move on.
So my brother has been playing fantasy football.
We had a near tragedy.
Almost. Keep going.
That a-hole doesn't have internet at his house. So I've been learning a lot about the fantasy football draft. Yes. And his piece of sports information he wanted me to bring tonight is that his team fucking rocks.
Oh.
So we will hear a little bit about Matt June's fantasy football team. He's really excited. So they're talking a little bit about the sophomore quarterback slumps. Russell Wilson of the Seahawks, RG3. Oh. Don't know who that is, of the Redskins.
RG3, really cutie.
Blew out his knee.
Perfect.
And is back.
Yeah, yeah.
No. But his back.
Oh, he's back.
Because of it, yeah.
I thought you said blew out his knee and his back.
No.
Danger of homonyms.
Andrew Luck of the Colts.
It's been a homonym show.
It has been. Andrew Luck of the Colts. They're all coming into their dreaded second-year slump, so... Yeah. We're excited to
RG3
possible.
And now the one and he plays for the Panthers.
Will they come into their right? And RG3 will have a tougher road than the others, but he's out to prove that he's not a one-hit wonder.
No.
And I don't think
Andrew Luck
What's
will
the
be
cutie
fine.
cutie from the Carolina Panthers, but I think he's in season 3 now.
Are you talking about
big, tall, 6'6"
black gentleman?
Yes.
Stop it. Just stop it. We're not talking about intentionally.
Yeah, intentional racism.
True. Next call.
So listen, coach is on a hot seat. Rex Ryan.
Should be.
Is on a hot seat. Going to see what's happening there. Jason Garrett, Cowboys.
Should be.
Currently the Cowboys coach. He's on a short leash this season.
Cam Newton, ladies and gentlemen.
16 games to save his job. Dennis Allen, the 18th coach in Raiders history. Maybe the first defensive coach in Oakland since John Madden, but it looks to lack the offensive talent to have a winning season. A couple other things you have to be watching for. The Andy Reid, Alex Smith era. Hey-o.
Hey-o. Alex begins Smith is San Francisco?
Yeah. The yeah. Chiefs.
Oh, he used to play for San Francisco, yeah. right?
Chiefs.
Alex
more?
Smith is the quarterback. The was for San Francisco. You're saying now for
The Chiefs have more Pro Bowlers on their roster than wins last season. Similar to when he took over for Philly, Reid inherits a good core of young players, including Jamal Charles, Alex Smith. He lost his job last year after an injury.
Nope.
Yeah, San Francisco, right?
So that's exciting.
To Kaepernick.
There's some new defensive coordinators up in here. Early games to watch was
up in here. Up in here.
The hell is that?
They're up in here. There's a room.
You see that?
It's actually part of my vernacular. Everyday vernacular. Yep.
Yeah.
So early games to watch. Okay, the Jets versus the Bucks in New York on September 12th.
Yep.
They say who scores first? Darrell Revis or the Jets?
Okay.
The Jets.
Mark Sanchez
is out.
Manning Bowl the third in New York, September 15th. Will Eli finally triumph in the battle of the Manning brothers, Bronco and Colt?
What do you mean? Eli always wins. He already has two Super Bowls.
Eli Manning has already
not a Giants, right?
Two Super Bowls. Yeah, he just won like last year.
But Eli has. Two years ago. Bronco and Colt. Okay. Okay, they're talking about their first matchup.
Oh! I think that might be new because
that's what they're talking about. Their first matchup.
Because
Peyton, it says Bronco and Colt quarterback Peyton has won twice. Right, in their first matchups.
But not as a Bronco, I don't think.
No, once as a Bronco, once as a Colt.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't think they had.
Peyton won, but Eli has two Super Bowl rings, so who's going to win in this first bat? They're going to meet each other on September 15th.
He's considered the lesser brother, but I think he has more Super Bowl rings than
Correct.
Who, Peyton?
Peyton and Eli.
Peyton only has
Eli has two.
Yeah. But Eli has two, and he's still always considered like the
Peyton Manning
the run to the litter.
The big dog.
He's cute.
Oh, I told you.
Very.
Where do you
I'm enjoying this iPad more and more.
Is that Cam Newton? Yes.
Wait till you see him on a big screen TV smiling and sweating.
Well, I can make this go to the big screen.
Tight white pants.
Oh, I'm at the 60-inch.
I got Apple TV. We can go do it in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Kansas City at Philly, September 19th. McNabb retires his number 5, and Andy Reid returns for the first time to
What is Andre Reid doing?
Nope, it was Andy Reid.
Oh, I'm Andy. Sorry.
Coming back. So we're excited about that. Let's see. Players back from injury. RG3 back from injury. The Gronk, apparently. Someone called
Gronkowski from New England.
Oh, he's injured.
He's back from injury. And Jason Peters makes his comeback as the Eagles starting left tackle. With Michael Vick's declaration that he will run more in Kelly's option-based offense, Peters will be one of the keys to project the oft-injured quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah, he is.
Protect, rather.
Yeah,
so, names you haven't heard of but will, and then we'll be done here. Jeff Toole. Undrafted player, yet probable starter for the Buffalo Bills. I feel like you should care about that.
I do.
After Kevin Kolb went down with a concussion. Mark Trestman at the Chicago Bears. We're excited about him. Seneca Wallace. That's a cool name.
Yeah, that is a good name.
It is, but it was in Washington. Green Bay. Is now in Green Bay.
Yep. Okay. Monty Ball.
So he died.
Monty Ball, the rookie running back in Denver. We're excited about him.
Seneca Wallace is a quarterback, yes?
Yep, he's a quarterback.
Yeah, so he's going to be for Green Bay. And Rodgers. He's got ass plant.
Well, these are names.
I think this is my last Sunday working. What?
What's happened? Who died?
Who's dead?
I'm surprised at this. I don't want to continue on with your thing. I'll throw this in a minute.
Okay, let's see. There's a couple other things. The New York Giants Super Bowl clock. Not sure what that means. And Snow Bowl 2014. The conclusion of this year will end in an open-air stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Yeah. Or will it? Last year, the big game survived a blackout. If there is a snowicane injuring...
A snowicane? Is that like a sharknado?
That wasn't the wrong word. I meant to say inquiring minds wonder what plan B for the Super Bowl will be.
Because the Super Bowl is being held in...
In Rutherford, New Jersey.
Giant Stadium.
It's open air, isn't it?
It's open air. It's cold weather,
It's cold as shit.
They did a long spell of only warm weather, but it was kind of detrimental.
Or domed.
Because you bring so much money to the city that hosts it. And it's a big thing, But now, Superstorm Sandy, the year before they had Irene.
They're worrying about
all these storms. There's all these damage. And then
those bitches play, though. They play in the winter. They play in the snow.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's going to
mind
that.
It's not the players that object. And it's certainly not the fans that object. No. It's the fucking the sportscasters that come in and all the celebrities that come in.
That's why they want to host it here in Phoenix.
Right. They want it somewhere warm. They want a winter vacation. If you tell them they're going to East Rutherford, New Jersey for their February vacation, people are going to be like, are you high?
Yeah. Yeah, because Minnesota's getting a new stadium, but right now, well, of course even they are, though the last one kind of collapsed on them, but even but at one point, I mean, like looking at the dome for they did Indianapolis
because Indianapolis hosted the Super Bowl recently, and people were like, "Are you kidding me?
Let's get out of Dodge.
We want to go to Indianapolis in February." I mean, the travel agents are seriously thinking. Are we smoking crack?
And you
we're
can
sending
be
people
inside.
To the snow belt.
You can be inside and it's 78 degrees, but then you're going outside and you're like...
Yeah, you're like, you're doing a why, God, why kind of Les Miserables scene.
Well, that's all we have in sports.
And Tim Tebow got...
Tebow got the axe.
Yeah. So now John 3:16 says, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Suck it, you're a cunt.
According to my Bible. Yeah. And I read a really funny op-ed piece, and I don't think they meant it to be funny, but they're saying his only hope, because he says he's going to keep his NFL dream alive, and they're like, unless you're going to go as a running back.
He's never going to be back as a QB, and my brother and I were talking about that. He has the potential as some other positions.
I guess somebody owns, I guess every player makes a deal with Canadian League in case things go to shit.
The Canadian League's already wanting him.
Yeah. Right, he'll still be on the bench. He'll still be a second string, but they're saying go there, prove yourself. Maybe they'll hire back like they did Doug Flutie, Jim Kelly.
There's
a bunch of people from
I'm a Doug Flutie fan.
Entertainment / sports. Tommy Morrison. Did you guys ever see Rocky V, the worst fucking movie?
Absolutely not.
I checked out after Rocky V.
Not even a chance.
Awful, awful, awful. He's dead. Tommy Morrison at 44 died.
I'm assuming he played a kid.
No, he was the boxer who got Rocky out of retirement because Rocky was going to...
Oh, so Rocky V was recent.
Right.
Well,
no.
10, 15 years?
No, I don't think so.
96?
Oh, all right.
Okay. I was pretty good on that.
Mid-90s, where he came in and Rocky was going to train him. And
I could train you.
I could come on. We'll work together.
Yo, Adrian,
Tommy.
What you doing?
Anyway.
Having a fucking baby, you retard.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a couple times.
Twice. That
couple times.
I want to get my cunt.
Basically, yes. He was interviewed by Larry King.
That
in
tells
96,
you how old he is.
And he announced that he had tested positive for HIV
at
the time.
Is the collar there? Anyway, you're on the hook.
In later years, he claimed that the HIV test produced a false positive. So whether he did or didn't, but he just passed away at 40.
False positives are more common than anything else.
It was the worst Rocky ever made. The end.
Yeah, that's not the end.
Sorry, but I've been a whole 3 and 4 up there as stiff competition. And
not compared to this.
Now, from our We Keep People Alive column that used to be known as the Death Watch... Valerie Harper joined Dancing with the Stars.
Cancer is in remission. According to her doctors and GMA, cancer is in remission.
Who else do we like? Who do we like?
18-week contest. So this is a fucking joke.
Honest to God, we are bad.
We're really bad at it. But who else do we want alive? Just put them on there.
No, they're already there. I think we like everybody on there.
Are we good?
Can we add like my parents just for good measure?
Yeah, exactly.
They have to be celebrity status. They can't be just common people.
Or they have to be in the guest. This does feel like a den now, so I do feel like we're just one like bear head away from a full on den.
Oh shit, we need a bear head.
I meant that in a good way, but it came out really bad.
No.
Cut. Let me just tell you the little breaking news that I just received over the my breaking news app.
Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah. Ariel Castro found hanged to death in his jail cell. Killed himself. Officials in Ohio Corrections Facility say that 53-year-old Ariel Castro, who held 3 women captive for over a decade, was found hung in his jail. Well, I'm just assuming him fucking be dead.
In the course of all things trial related, that what's that cunt's name? Nancy Grace can't get her fingers on, or the dirty Valdez woman that's right next door.
Jane Velez.
Can't stand that bitch either.
Mitchell.
Mm-hmm,
Mitchell. Just loudmouth cunts.
Cunt.
Anyways, ruining TV. That the fact that everyone offered a plea so we didn't have to have a long drown out trial and put those 3 girls
through all
misery
that.
On TV for Nancy Grace to chew the bones of like the cunt always does. hater. And the fact that he hung himself now is just the happiest conclusion to the story
that
could ever possibly
but
come out of it.
But wouldn't it be nice to do that years and fucking years
think so.
And fucking years
I
ago?
I don't think so. I think he should have had to endure.
Yep.
Although it would have been nothing compared to what his captors had to go through.
But this ends the story for them. Like, we never have to... Those three girls can just go on with their lives and we don't have to... Nancy Grace can pick his bones forever.
Nancy Grace can't, but...
Like, I feel like I'm on both sides here. Yeah, I do.
Because as soon as you said
totally with you.
I wish he would have suffered a lot longer.
I think they have to suffer. They have to think about what they did for the rest of their lives. And I think that's
all he could take.
The death penalty, and just, I like it.
I mean, it showed how chicken shit he was.
No. And the minute he had to fate with the light on what he did, he hung himself.
Look
he
at how strong those three women were and what they endured.
That's a really good point. That's a good point.
And then his pansy ass.
3 months.
Because I can't. It's 90 days. Yeah. Really? Fuck off.
Fuck
You're
off.
A cunt.
But any time that Nancy Grace can't chew the bones of a dead person,
I don't think
I'm all for
I don't
it.
Believe like that. There's a hell that you're going to, whatever. There's just a place where we die. But I hope he's in the worst of it,
and they can know that he's gone. Their tormentor is off the face of the planet, and it cost us.
I can agree
as the American taxpayers, not a dollar.
Not much
well,
at all.
I'm sure they'll throw that sheet away, so I'll be happy to write the check.
They'll put it in the Smithsonian or belt.
It's 9:44, and I'm going to see. This may sound like shit, but we're going to try it anyway.
This whole show's gone.
Well, Jesus, I don't.
Hey, we're back.
I love it when nothing plays. Apparently, my laptop is completely shit. Could be.
Something's not. But luckily, you have a whole week living here to fix it.
Oh, no. Well, it won't play at all. All right, go ahead, Al. What's our thoughtful vulgarity question?
I like how she leaves now, cunt.
and now she can't hear it because I haven't hooked that up yet.
Oh, that's. I never even thought about that.
Yeah,
also, Mark says this looks just like the last studio. Kudos.
I know, as I said, we should have never said anything.
If he would, right.
Except for, I really want a deer head, though,
no,
just to go up.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'd be funny.
And our 1951.
At least like a rabbit head,
lightly
maybe.
Cross-eyed.
Yeah. Our 1951 garage conversion.
This is like my favorite room.
This is the garage.
The garage. It's like,
you can drive around my block and park your car in my garage anytime you want to.
Oh, shit.
Set some bottom somewhere.
All right. Thoughtful vulgarity for the next 14 minutes.
All right. Do we want to be topical or stick with our list?
We don't give a shit.
All right. Let's do this.
Just
a yes or no question because it's coming up tomorrow. I think it's going to come up tomorrow. Bomb Syria or not?
Say again? Bomb Syria?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'm a no.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a yes only because the only thing that I heard was where they were talking about bombing them just so that they could make all runways, make everything inoperable. He can't fly a plane. He can't do anything like that. So I would love to see. And then something about disarming wherever missiles would launch from.
Yeah, it's escalated slightly from a shot over the bow to doing a little bit of damage.
Yeah, I would like him just to damage everything he's got, period.
I think we've backed our way into a corner that we have to.
I don't think we have to, and I don't. I think that this is. I think it's atrocious. It's an atrocity against humankind. What he's doing, but it's a civil war.
They should have left.
It's a civil war. Yeah. It's a civil war, and nobody got involved when we were engaged in civil war over here. Nor should they have. It's our business to figure out so that
they
we
did,
could come
actually.
To the. Okay.
A lot of.
Perfect. But I don't think that, well, thank you very much. I needed to read some history.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I don't think so. Because us getting involved there means
everybody's
Russia
involved,
fucking
right.
bombs,
we
you know,
at, we
Israel,
at the map last
Iran
week.
Bombs, Israel, eh.
Yeah.
I just.
But if you got chemical weapons and you're using it in the world's
I get
smallest
that it's a UN thing, but where's the rest of the fucking UN right now?
Right. The UN are peacekeepers, though.
Yes, but where are they in anything? I mean, what do you say? Sanctions? So we're gonna,
and you remember the movie Clue?
Trade sanctions? It's bullshit.
One of the greatest jokes ever told was in the movie Clue, and it was, because they shared the title of the best jokes in any movie, Eileen Brennan and Madeline Kahn, and one of them said, "My husband used to have delusions of grandeur. Now he works for the UN."
I think it's a tragedy that the UN is all being pussies. Why do we have to be the ones?
Because they're peacekeepers. They don't. All they do is keep the peace, and that makes them useless. You can't keep peace.
It's useless. But yeah. I don't think it's our.
And I've gone back and forth. It's another one of those things. I see both sides, and I'm torn.
It's
but at
hideous
the same time,
what's happening?
Someone
but
has, like, so they killed 100,000 people, but they used guns, so now it's okay. But they used chemical weapons, so now we're, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
But chemical weapons in that small of a neighborhood, the wind blows. All of a sudden, you're gassing.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. Hideous. What's happened? The film and videos are really horrible.
Yeah, so it's. I'm torn. I really am torn, but I lean towards you got to do something. Like you have to do.
They
got to
do something.
Somebody's got to do something. Well, it's not going to be them. It's apartheid all over. I mean, it honestly is. If you do a little bit of research, I sent you the links.
Yeah.
It's apartheid all over again. It is the minority ruling the majority, but it's religion, not color. So people don't see it. They don't know what they're fighting about. And they both believe in the same God. It's like Baptist warring with Methodist. You're on the same fucking team. It's very confusing. All right, so now we'll go to fun.
Next question.
Yeah.
I'm going to rip this off.
This okay. Now I'll do this one. This is a fun one. What makes a good friend?
Oh. Humor and loyalty.
Define loyalty.
Actually, burying the body, I think, is a good one. helping to bury. Moving
part
it to one day.
That's a loyalty.
That's part of loyalty. Absolutely. You wanted me to define loyalty?
Yeah, because loyalty is, I mean, that's a nice word to throw around.
Well, I think loyalty would mean that you're there no matter what. That, you know, and if there is a bunch of shit going on, that they call you on it. And that,
right, yeah.
You know, that it's not just... I'll be right here for you no matter what. I'm here for you no matter what, but you're a fucktard.
Yeah. Cunt.
Cunt. All right, then.
Katie?
I appreciate being called on my shit, and mm-hmm. I think my best friends do that. I very much appreciate that.
We were talking about
that.
This topic earlier. Read the middle one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more.
Yeah. I appreciate my friends who call me on it, but I don't know what makes a good friend. I just... people that I enjoy being around, that are funny, that are fun. You know, I don't... there's a lot of serious shit that goes on in life. And not that I've had friends that have gone through serious shit. And I don't mean that can't happen. But, you know, I want friends that are like friendships that are fun and easy. And we'll go through the hard stuff together. We'll go through the shitty stuff together. But I remember having a really good lifelong friend that after college I dumped because I'm like, this is like way hard.
Yeah.
It was just not fun. And it wasn't because bad things in life were happening. It wasn't death, divorce, this, that. It was like
just drama,
dramatic. And yeah. I was like, this sucks. And this is way too hard. This is our friendship where we shouldn't be putting this much effort.
Yeah.
I shouldn't, you know. So I think fun, just enjoying each other's company, mm-hmm. like being able to just kind of hang out with nothing really to say and just enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
I like it.
Clayton
A
McKee.
Good friend to me. Sir or ma'am?
Just for those who are just joining us, redefine the question, please.
What was it? What makes a good friend?
What makes a good friend? That's what I was curious. Okay. You want these?
I do.
All right.
That makes a good friend right there. Thanks, Clayton.
How about a champagne kicker? Go ahead.
Oh, sure. I'll take... Well, where's my...
Pray continue.
Did I lose my glass?
No, I'm pouring champagne into it, Gunt.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Katie, because you usually defer to her with that.
Hers was full.
For the record.
You were kind of first runner-up on that one. Kind of like that goddamn dog.
But he got saved. Well, I think there's the loyalty. And going back to people, you know, calling you out if you do something wrong. Though, fortunately, I think I run with a good crowd. We all have a good check and balance, I think, sure. For the most part. There are a few people outstanding out there that are like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And though I've tried on a couple occasions to have those conversations with them, they're just not ready to hear that yet. One particular comes to mind, and I'll maybe mention it to you in a minute. I think... like you, yeah, just people who just want to, you hang out, and it's easy to just hang out. There's no force. Right. You just, you know, like we do, like, well, what you do here, there's really no force. We can go to dinner, we can go sit at a local restaurant or a bar or a wine bar,
and
whatever.
And have the same conversation
right.
without microphones
and do the exact
that's
same thing.
That's what I said on my Facebook thing too.
It just falls together. That's a great and friend, but I think there's maybe a bigger word for it. I'm not sure what it would be, but I think that's a good friend because we all have I they're friends, but I think we use air quotes without.
Right, right. And I think Facebook has skewered the word friend a little bit. It's putting a little bit too much prestige on people that I'm like, I know who you are.
Yeah, I know.
Acquaintances. Or not even that, but I know you.
I know, exactly. I know who you are. I can't even give you the acquaintance word.
Her face rings a bell.
And we went through it a couple weeks ago where someone actually said to me, oh, it's been so long since we had a deep conversation. I wanted to be like, we've never had a conversation.
Oh,
like,
yeah, right.
Like, I mean, you all watched while someone told me they knew me, and I'm like, no, I wasn't even at the party you're talking about.
Get out of my house. Get out of my house.
We weren't even in the same room.
Do I remember this?
No, I think you were late.
I think you were.
So really, there's nothing new about that.
No, okay.
We can catch you up in a few minutes.
Thanks.
We can get you up in about 7 minutes.
Yeah, appreciate that.
I love Mark saying, drink more, please. Really? Well, I don't think I need it. I have two drinks, Mark. Look at the screen if you're watching on your TV.
Right, there's
that. Oh, no, it's hidden by a glass of water.
Oh.
Hi, Mark.
There might be a question. That. Oh, and Mark, I'm so sorry I missed your party. I don't know if you're listening to the beginning of the show, but honest to God, if I could have sat up or like changed into clothes that weren't underwear.
No, you thought it was raining.
I did think it was raining for a brief but glorious time known only as Camelot.
In 1963?
Oh, geez.
Little Edie and Big Edie over here.
I spoiled the joke that's coming up on Facebook when that goddamn dog wins again. prepared in advance. It's for me, for my answer. I always have to go with easy. And I do have to say that we're like 16, 17 months into this nonsense. And I've never woken up on a Tuesday and been like, I have somewhere to be. Every week I'm like, oh, this will be fun. And I know in advance it's going to be fun. Like, we've all crossed hairs on something. Either I keep using the R word. And if it makes you any better, when I do my laundry, I argue that with myself all the time, whether or not that word has to come out of my vocabulary. I have intense debates with myself over that word.
It's good that he does that.
I appreciate it.
I still land on fire retardant.
Retardando.
That is what gives me
a musical term.
Retardant. It's the it is a correct word.
It is. Yeah. If you were to be talking about fire retardant and putting the fires out,
so I'm slowing
down
the fire that is those assholes on 92.3. But ease. And there was, Doug Wilkie is the best example. Like, one time I was not feeling well, but there was something on HBO and Doug was in a dark place where he didn't have HBO, so we had to come borrow mine, or I had a better HBO.
It's amazing.
Something.
That is literally amazing.
Something happened, and he was like, I'm going to bring another friend over, David Van Vierden, and I really was not feeling. I was seriously bordering on ill, and I thought, I can't do this. Like, I can't host two people
in my house. A random
new
friend.
But somebody that I'm not caught up with. And it was just, they came over and it was like, bam, we were clicked, we were in, and it was the easiest thing. And I told them, like, I'm going to sit over here by myself because I'm not feeling well and I don't know if I'm catchy. Like, I honestly don't know, so I'll stay over here, get your own drinks. I don't want to touch glasses. I just don't want to, like, I've washed a few things. I put them over there with gloves on. Use that. I'm not sure what's going on with me. It was the easiest night. Sure. And then they took pictures. And I'm like, I was so sick. I'm like, whatever. Take the fucking picture. And then the picture looked cute because I was so feverish that I kind of had, like, color.
Yeah. I love it.
But
I remember you telling that story before.
It really was a good example of just the ease with which it was to slip into something. And when you just go to someone's house and you're like, this is just easy. There's no work involved. Sure. The conversation is
just
flowing.
It's natural.
We don't have to prove anything. You don't care that I've got an Afghan over me and I may or may not have bathed for 2 days. Like,
right.
And that's what I consider about loyalty is like, you know, like if I come over, I'm going to be tired some days. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but some days if I've worked, like I'm switching time zones for you. Like I'm going to be a little tired. And if you're willing to like put up with until you get coffee and me and maybe a glass of wine, I might be a bitch.
Yeah. And to be like,
And almost everybody that I'm friends with knows to roll. Like, just give him time to wake up. Like, you know, like, and I like that. And then with other people, too. Like, I know you don't care for what's about to happen, but you're going to sit through it and wait till the part that you like. Like, we're going to do a little chatting and maybe have a conversation that's not
comfortable,
maybe what you're comfortable with.
Right.
But we have to get everybody in this group lined up and make sure everybody. Right. And everybody's done that, where you've had, like, your parties after Thanksgiving. Not everyone is friends all the time, for that day it takes a little shifting, adjusting, and then oh, what an easy time this
absolutely.
is.
And I'm going from place to place, and I'm going to try to bring them
and
together,
bring them
but
together,
I'm
and then eventually
it.
Everyone will just fall yeah. into their things. Yeah. And like New Year's Eve at Mark's house. There was some tension and a couple fires, but then, literally.
Were there three fires?
Two.
There
two.
Were a lot of fire retardants
two and one chance
there,
of, yeah.
What well, I understood.
Yeah, thank God.
The ones creating the fires.
But it was an easy night. Like, there was no work involved. Like, everybody was, like, easy and nice. And that's what I think makes a to me, is when you can just be with someone, you sure. don't have to, like, put on everything and be fancy, and you can just be like, you know what, I showed up today. And
I'm just so glad that our show coincides with your priest, your already set
yes,
cycle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, when you said Tuesdays, I'm like, that is the best day yeah. for me, because I hate working Mondays. Like, everybody knows if I work a Monday, you better have, like, Christ himself in the corner explaining it to me. Because I didn't work Mondays at Taco Bell. I didn't work Mondays at BS West. Like, I don't work Monday nights anywhere. I like my Monday nights.
For a lifetime.
They might bring Murphy Brown or Designing Women back on Monday night. Yeah. And that's what it comes from. So Tuesdays are always
Brown
a free
a
day for me. Like, they were always a nice sure. day.
But this also coincides when you go, because you go to work at 6 or something like that, right?
Right. So you start when I usually, yeah. I wake up at 5:30 every day. I go to work by 7. So this, I get up at
okay,
5:30
so
for this. Exactly. I start by 7. Like, you're right on my schedule.
So sure, that works out sure. well for all of us.
Yeah, I don't have to slam
and
espresso
this is about,
to do
like,
this.
It doesn't matter what time I normally would get up or do anything else. This is about the time, roughly 5, 6, 7, when I wake up.
Yeah, when
like
you're
it's
ready
my
to
my prime. Yeah, yeah, no matter what time I get up.
Right. I think we're all. I mean, except for you, I think we're predominantly more evening type.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I wouldn't wake up at 5 a.m. unless I fucking had to.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Unless it's shot
like,
out of your cannon.
I like you that you're on board
yeah.
for that.
Yeah.
Well, you've managed to do it. You've wasted another 3 full hours this week listening to us
thanks.
Dribble on about various things and fire retardant and cunts and other things that you know always make us
and fire retardant cunts.
It's been our first show in Studio C. Thank you for joining us and following us from B to C. I think we're stopping here. And
yeah.
As I've said,
the train stopped. Because D would be my third room.
Every single studio from here on out will all be Studio C. So like Air Force One. Wherever yeah. the president's in, that's Air Force One. But we will see you next week. And as we do each and every week, we leave you with these kind and tender words. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Cut. Talk America.